I can't believe I get to say this, but Snake, you need to lower your levels a little bit.
I need to lower my levels. Let me see here. Playback devices, recording devices. Properties, levels, 3%. Okay, how about that?
You're still maxing on the scale.
That changed nothing.
Yeah, I'm not hearing any difference at all.
No. Welcome to the Scotchcast. My name's Conrad Thurbleson Kirby, and this is for the week of May the 23rd, 2014. Join with me today is Durin.
Hi.
What, I almost said your last name
about
first.
To call me by my last name? Yeah. I was
Warner,
ask, like,
Scott
when
Warner.
Did we start going, when did we start going by our names on the podcast?
I've been watching old Bond clips on YouTube.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that explains it. Okay.
And it's just you and me. I mean, I don't think anybody else is made it for this. I mean, Squiddle is busy. Shimbo. If only there was someone else of regular podcasting hosts.
Well, I think Noob might be available.
I mean, he's off in
Canada. Hey, guys,
Canada.
I'm you.
Wait,
up?
That's... Oh, hey, Noob. How are you doing?
Anime lollies.
Wait a second. That voice betrays that you're not Noob. Join with us for a possibly limited time only. Self-confessed cynic is back.
What's up, you guys? I put Smarties in my mouth.
We have to remember he put Smarties in his mouth, which means he put sweet tarts in his mouth.
Yes, he put food in his mouth and shoes on his feet to join us on
what
this
is
podcast.
Sweet tarts? What are sweet tarts?
In America, what you call Smarties are called sweet tarts. Smarties are something completely different here. They're kind of a chalky little like pill, but like a concave pill as opposed to the convex that you're used to.
They're much smaller. They're much smaller.
Yeah.
What is this madness?
Also, just because I wanted a fourth person on the show, join with us is someone I play video games with, Emily from New York.
What's up?
There will be no hate against Australian spiders or anything from you. You're actually
I love Australians.
I feel like this is the first time we've had like a good roundabout of Americans versus like other countries.
What do you mean? No, there's one person from a different country here. What are you talking about?
I know most shows we have like a Brit or Canadian or something joining as well.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, when was the last time we had a Brit or a Canadian on?
In terms of new guests.
When was the last time?
Oh, guests.
New
okay. Yeah. Okay, sure.
All right. Yeah.
Like the special guests are usually from some far off this country. Anyway.
Some far off country, like Canada.
Yes. I played Stick
plane?
Of Truth. They're no. Like, you know, 2D there. They're top down. I don't trust them. Anyway, let's talk about the Cynic. You were doing... Like, you went off the map, off the grid, so to speak.
I've got to stop putting chocolate in my mouth. What are you talking to me?
Act like a goddamn professional. Come on.
You're gone for a couple of months and you just fall apart.
You forget all podcast etiquette. Yeah.
Swallowing.
I'm trying to be
super
professional.
Yeah, I've been away for a while.
Here.
I'm not sure how much of what I've been doing I can talk about. Aside from the fact that, yeah, I'm in the Australian Air Force now.
Wait, hang on. You make it sound like you are like in some like top secret tier of the Air Force, but yet before we started recording, you were talking about you were like digging ditches and putting up barbed wire and shit.
Well, to be fair, okay, all right. Actually, I can't really. Okay, I can't tell you why I was digging ditches, etc.
Okay.
I can say that my opinions are my own and not represent the Australian Air Force. I need to get that out front. But aside from that, yeah, I've just been, I can't really say much beyond I'm training to be air traffic control in the Australian Air Force.
What?
So I guess that means we have a member of the Australian government on our podcast now.
Yeah. Yeah, that checks out. All right.
It checks out. I guess that works. I signed that contract, right? Oh God.
Yep.
See, let me
take
see that
podcast. You guys only get emails.
Says, yeah, Royal Australian Air Force, Australian Defence Force. Yeah, so I'm a member of the Australian Defence Force. I don't think I count as a government since we're independent from the government, but yeah, we have an...
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I didn't realize
you guys so, were... Any beefs that you want me to settle as a representative of the Australian Defence Force, I can probably do that. Wait, no, I just said I did... Oh, God.
All the rules. All right,
so how does the Australian Defence Force feel about thongs?
I don't know, but me as Vinayak Nilayath.
How do they weigh on like the sandal versus no shoes even?
Okay, first and foremost, right? I started this podcast with sandals on, and now I have no shoes on. But
you are the problem.
Get off this podcast right now.
I am in my own room, and I think that's perfectly acceptable. I honestly would not leave the living areas we've been in without closed footwear, and I will say that at least amongst the Australian Defence Force, there is a minimum dress standard which includes closed footwear. So,
well, thank speaking for God them, for the Air Force.
As Australia as a whole, I can say that in most cases, if you live near a beach, you have a very different opinion on the matter than if you don't live near a beach. That's what I can say about Australia, just in general. Because everyone I've noted who lives near beaches are like, yeah, dude, whatever, just wear thongs everywhere. It doesn't fucking matter. Anyone who actually lives in a place that's being developed remotely, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Put some goddamn shoes on. That's the beginning and end of that. So it doesn't really matter what city you're in. That's just how it works out. What were the other beefs? It was the thong beef. And everyone who wrote it was wrong.
I think everything else was pretty much just... geographic beefs.
Yeah, there were beefs against like Sydney and Melbourne, and yeah.
I'm gonna weigh in on that. All right, so I'm from Sydney. That's my hometown. Been there for 20 plus years. Sydney is pretty awesome. Melbourne is prettier. Melbourne's probably the coolest city in Australia. Sydney's where you go if you like a bit more life in a city. Because I don't know, it's weird because even though the difference is about 3 million people in Sydney, 1.5–2 million people in Melbourne, you feel the difference in just the amount of people on the streets, the stuff going on, etc. That's what I really like. As a person who's Indian by origin,
Sinek, when I go back, I'm going to have to cut you off. Your beef is not offensive enough to be part of a bombcast community.
Which city is more likely to kill you?
Yeah, that's what we want to know.
Sydney.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Whoa. All right, gang violence.
I hear some government Melbourne. Backpedaling now.
Yeah, gang violence, Melbourne. If you're involved in that kind of shit, you probably get killed harder. If you're just like walking down the street and getting mugged, probably sit.
All right.
Sydney's better. Melbourne is the prettier city.
What have you been playing? Let's just go straight to that.
Cool. Just moving on from that kind of shit. I've been playing.
Most of the Australian beef will probably be handled by Shinboy next time you're on. So this is part one. You're not getting off that easy.
It's just
for the sake of time, looking at our docket of how much stuff we want to cover, put that on the back burner for now.
I've been playing a lot of stuff that isn't video games, including shooting weapons, etc. I can't talk too much about that beyond the fact that, hey, a member of the Shadow Universe knows how to shoot a weapon.
Actually, a quick question I have about that. You played Receiver, right?
No, I have
as
not.
As much as you can
but
play.
That's mostly about revolvers, right? We just use rifles. We haven't used...
you haven't done any...
handgun stuff. Yet.
I'm still kind of like... back-minded of like, if you're going to be in the Air Force, are you just running around with assault rifles while telling planes where to land?
Someone
should be more likely to carry a pistol.
You need to be able to use a rifle effectively as any member of the Australian Defence Force,
but not a handgun.
You need to be able to shoot your enemy with your handgun and then pick up their rifle and know how to use it.
Yeah,
depending on your specialization, you may be trained how to use a handgun. That much information is available on the Australian Defence Force website. Beyond that, when you do it, how you do it, to what extent we're able to shoot those weapons, I cannot.
So you're not at liberty to discuss your training in hand-to-hand combat or, like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme stuff? Okay, anyway.
You know what? I probably am, but to remain, like, to stay on the safe side, let's just not. I will say that I have had about roughly 20 hours of pure spare time in the last 3 months of training. and within that time, I played 2 video games. Okay. So that's all right.
I remember before you spoke with me this morning. I noticed, like, oh, I wonder what Cynic's been up to. I look on the giant bomb thing. His only forum posts have been Dark Souls 2. In like little surprise, snippets surprise. In between time, I know he has. So it's like, all right, let's. What you been playing, Cynic?
You just reminded me of playing some Dark Souls. Yeah, no, so I've been playing 3 video games. There you go.
Been playing 2?
3 video games, one of which is Final Fantasy X, which we may talk about later. But Dark Souls 2, I've taken to understand that more than myself have played Dark Souls in this podcast now. Is that correct? Like, have other people finally played Dark Souls?
Not only that, I believe some people in this podcast have played Dark Souls 2.
Dude, these vagaries are crazy.
I'm digitally looking at Durin.
I mean, I haven't gone back to it, but I've played like probably about what, like an hour or 2 hours of it.
Ah, okay. And Thurible, have you played just Dark Souls?
I've played Dark Souls 1, working on second playthrough now, trying to be a bit more, don't power level your way through like Vinny did.
Okay, yeah, no, it's second playthrough is pretty fun, I have to say. It's definitely a different. The first half of it's a bit easy, and then you get to the end, and it becomes moderate. It never becomes hard again. Like, if you played right the first time through Dark Souls, second time through is still fucking simple.
I was going to say, it wouldn't become hard, because, like, where the difficulty lies is in your lack of knowledge of the game.
Exactly.
So once you have that knowledge, it'll never be hard again.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to Dark Souls 2, which I've heard changes a bit when you get the new game plus. But Dark Souls, I think me and Thurbleton talked about it a little bit beforehand, which kind of ruins the spontaneity of this discussion, but I have to say, Dark Souls 2 is just like more Dark Souls 1, and it depends as to what the person as to whether...
I would agree. It is more Dark Souls in terms of boss fights and general tomfoolery and running around weapons, parodying, all that. The functionality is pretty much the same. Would you not agree?
Yeah, and it's like... It just straight up comes down to you, like, hey, do you want to play more Dark Souls 1? If you're like, yes, I want to play fucking, yeah! And you start, like, banging your head against the wall, yes, it would be a great game for you. If you're like me, where it's like, yeah, Dark Souls 1's pretty good. I don't know, I'm willing to play more of that.
But and then you get Dark Souls 2. If the things that you enjoyed about Dark Souls 1 were the attention to detail for the levels, the amazing sort of always coming back to Firelink Shrine after you finish something and go down an elevator or something, both the initial story and how it fools you into this sub-story and all the different plots in between, would you say Dark Souls 2 is that?
Dark Souls 2 definitely feels less contiguous because you aren't continually returning somewhere like Firelink's Shrine. You're right. Like, I know you're always going back to Majula and leveling up, but it doesn't feel the same because I think it was an intelligent decision, even though it was an annoying decision, for Dark Souls 1 to not give you warping until halfway through the game. That allowed you to really get a sense for the whole world, how everything connects, how to get from one place to another. Whereas in Dark Souls 2, because you get teleporting from the very start of the game, it does definitely feel like a bunch of disjointed levels kind of mashed together.
Basically, my beef is that Hideo... I'm going to botch this name, but Hideo Miyazaki isn't working on it. or didn't work on it, I guess.
It's a lot to attribute to one person, right? I don't know how much, like, just like Kojima, I don't know how much can be attributed to that one dude. And maybe his top team, like, I assume it's not just him. I assume it's him and his top brass that he's taking with him to presumably work on Project Beast. But,
Well, yeah, and I'm not even sure if he's leading Project Beast now, because it recently got announced that he is the like head guy of From Software
resident.
Now.
Yeah. Resident From Software. Well,
yeah.
Like, it's art. Can you direct a game while also running a company?
Yeah, like it's a case of if you were From Software and you had to decide who knows how to fucking get your company. Like, doing what people like it doing, I guess you put that guy in charge, right? Like, he's the dude who did the thing, so you put him in charge, and hopefully he knows what the fuck he's doing there. But it does, yeah, definitely feel like there's lacking some of the wow factor, the newness, the, as my MSI would say, the short, sharp, shit-hotness of Dark Souls 1 in Dark Souls 2. It just doesn't feel the same. I don't know. I guess that's why I forgot I even played it, right? I played it a month ago. I played about just before all the major boss fights, so I just explored all the basic areas of the game, except for the very final areas of the game, which unlock after you get all those souls. And yeah, it just doesn't feel that it never really grabbed me as much as Dark Souls 1 or even Demon's Souls. Demon's Souls grabbed me more than Dark Souls 2.
Anyway, I haven't played Demon's Souls, so I can't weigh in on that. But yeah, it's just I'm having a lot of fun playing Dark Souls.
Yeah,
and it's Dark Souls. And Thurb, you heard that they're working on trying to keep the online up for Dark Souls, right?
Yeah, I'm really curious what they mean by that. If it's only just going to be a Steam sharing thing or what? Because a lot of the fun of that was just you didn't know the people you were grouping up with.
You know what? That actually might be the one thing about Dark Souls 2 I actually enjoyed far more than Dark Souls 1. Like, I have to say, the multiplayer of Dark Souls 2 is absolutely freaking, like, or at least
because it worked.
Yeah, and just for that first period where it was like, no matter what you did, there was so many people playing that game that you'd always be matched with people really quickly, and you'd always be able to do what you wanted to do.
Well, and it's easier to get into using it, right?
Yeah, it's just like, for example, Dark Souls 1, I literally played the entire game hollowed. I never went human unless it made me human. So straight up from start to finish, I never saw another player. The only time I saw another player was when I experimented with the one of the covenants, which makes a specific area a PvP area. I tried that once, twice. Didn't like it, went away. In Dark Souls 2, the fact that I can be a sun bro and just like straight up put down a sun symbol right next to a boss fight and then help people through boss fights, and not only help them, but also get a shitload of souls myself and use that to level. Like, stuff like that, just the rapidity of being able to just get that working, matching up with people. I'm on wireless internet in the middle of fucking nowhere, and I still got decent ping and was able to play with people and play properly and help people with boss fights. That was fucking awesome. Also, I got to be a sun bro, so that was cool.
Yeah, and like, it's, you could blame that on like From Software and Bankai Namco for like choosing to go with games for Windows Live, but it's, I mean,
they didn't know what the hell they were doing in the first place with the game, so I don't blame them.
Like, at the time, the Steam servers probably weren't up, and so they just like, you know, let's just keep this thing going for now. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens come July.
I don't doubt that even if it doesn't work, the users will figure out a way to make it work. It's not even a question. It's Dark Souls. This is the Dark Souls community. They are insane. They will get anything done that they need to done. Dark Souls. It's interesting seeing how many people have stuck with the original Dark Souls as opposed to moving to Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, like I've been doing like Sun Warrior stuff, and it's been kind of crazy just like how many people are still playing it, and both Invade and not as many Invades as before, but still a lot of people to help out.
I love helping people out. I don't know, like, there's something about kicking a boss's ass and then, like, sorry, figuring out how to kick your boss's ass by yourself and getting over that hump and then going back and then, like, and showing people by playing with them how to do it, or it's like just helping people through it. That just made that game so satisfying. Like, easily my favorite parts of Dark Souls 2 was helping people out, like, by far. It was awesome. But that aside, like, I only played that for a while, and then I just didn't have time. Like, once shit got hit the fan and I started having a lot more work, I didn't have time. So I did play instead up until yesterday, and then after yesterday, has been a shitload of Final Fantasy X on the Vita. Like, so not actually ridiculous amounts. I think it's like 20 hours, but considering how much free time I've had.
Yeah, it's your ratio of time, it's felt like a shitload because...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like, it's been 2 months or whatever, and I haven't finished it. I haven't even gotten past, like, getting the third Aeon or whatever. I only just got Ixion. But, it's just taken up that time in such a crazy way, but... The way I play video games, it's like doing other stuff while it's just grinding. So I'm ridiculously overleveled, far more than I ever was in the past. But it reminded me why I loved that game in the first place. Just that world, the characters. The main character is still a piece of shit, but everyone else is still... Titus is still not great.
I am curious, as a Vita owner and a fan of JRPGs, You may or may not know. I know you've been keeping up with the Bombcast. I'm not sure how well you've been keeping up with our podcast that you pay for. Thank you. Squiddle recently, at the constant badgering of Shinboy, purchased a 3DS.
I see.
In order to play games like the new Zelda, but also Bravely Default.
Right.
And he's been really enjoying Bravely Default, especially while he was at PAX. Do you feel that the Vita is a better mobile device for playing JRPGs than the 3DS? Or did he make the right decision?
That's an interesting question, because
I am in no way trying to get beef going between you and Shinboy on which is the better system.
I would say that if you want new games, new JRPGs, new JRPG experiences, then probably the 3DS. It's the console or the handheld that more people are making games for right now. That's just the reality.
Well, I would say it's the handheld that people are making games for. I mean, Sony just straight out came out and said, like, yeah, we're not making AAA games for this thing. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like, that's crazy. Right? Like Sony coming out and saying that, like, third parties basically are just gonna be like, well, let's how about that PS3?
And it's like, it's sad because of the two, like, I vastly prefer the Vita just in terms of its build quality, its screen, and all that kind of stuff, right? But the 3DS is where you go if you want new, interesting games. If you want the best RPGs ever made, though, in my opinion,
you get a Super Nintendo.
We're talking about Persona 4 Golden, Persona 3, Final Fantasy X, all the Final Fantasies before that. And just straight up want to be able to play those, then it's only the Vita, right? It's only the Vita right now, if you want to play the best ever made. But if you do want new ones, like Bravely Default, I've heard only good things for, so I haven't gotten around to picking it up, and 3DS is really good. So. And I don't think Squiddle likes Final Fantasy at all. Like, that guy, I remember talking to him and him saying specifically, like, he didn't like the Japanese-iness of it, which is crazy, because Bravely Default is essentially that.
Yeah, I think he actually said he's never played a Final Fantasy game.
Oh, is that it? Oh, God. Well, I don't know. Like, at this point, is there a game you could point to someone who's never played one before and say, you should play that? Like, looking at Final Fantasy now from this perspective, just having games like Bravely Default coming out or the Persona series or anything like that, how RPGs have changed over the years, is there a Final Fantasy they recommend to a modern gamer? I don't know if there is. I don't know.
I mean, I guess I would say probably one of the closest would be 10, because it has just enough of some of the modern stuff, and it's quick enough that it's accessible, but it's before the series started to go downhill.
Yeah, maybe it's 10, but remember, 10, like, playing 10 now, random battles, if I wasn't in a particular situation where grinding is, I'm fine with doing it, random battles suck.
Yeah, that's true.
Suck balls. Does Brave Default? No, Brave Default has actual things on the field that you run into, right?
Well, Brave Default, you could turn off random battles if you wanted to.
Oh, no. Oh, right. It does have random battles, but you can just change the slider. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I said, in a post-Brave Default world, yeah, it's kind of hard to really recommend an older. Because, it's always going to come with that caveat of, oh, well, you got the random battles, so every 5 steps, have fun.
Exactly, right? And it's like, just little things, like, for example, the map designs and stuff. Like, going back to Final Fantasy X, I think a lot of people forgot what Final Fantasy X was like when they played Final Fantasy XIII and criticized Final Fantasy XIII. Because Final Fantasy XIII has a lot of similarities, because, like, you are just straight up running down long, narrow paths in Final Fantasy X as well. Straight up, like, especially near the start of that game.
And that was also why when 10 came out, I felt the same way as I did when 13 came out. Like,
yeah.
Having come off of 9 and then going to that, like, it just really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, some people obviously remembered that, but a lot of people forgot that, because Final Fantasy X does have that, but it has probably the best leveling up system in a Final Fantasy game. Sphere Grid is fucking amazing.
I'd like to think that because there's so many, there's really, like, if they have a slight interest in any type of strategy / story, they're like, oh yeah, you want to try this one. This will be your hook into the genre.
Like, honestly, my favorite playing Final Fantasy is fucking 13. That's the best playing of the Final Fantasies, full stop. Like, there's no competition.
If we're talking battle system, I would absolutely
agree. And then when it comes to like the best story, it might be 4 or 10, somewhere like maybe 8. Like it's one of the weird ones.
10 kind of to me automatically gets a couple notches down because of that laughing scene, though. I can't rightly recommend that to anybody.
I don't know, because like having recently played it, the voice acting is shockingly terrible.
It really is. I agree.
But the sentiment behind that scene and the reason it happens and what it means for the story of that game, it actually is a very good and potentially effective scene. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, like it's a good concept. It just was executed incredibly poorly.
Wow, that was hard. That was hard to cut. Like it was like an element of you know how people, the new Zelda came out, like Link to the Past 2, and people were like, I'm worried about this game because it might affect my opinions of Link to the Past 1, and like I have that thing. It was exactly that, but for that scene in Final Fantasy X.
Like playing that, because I was playing on the PS3, and like playing through that scene, to me, like it's kind of the same effect of like if you're ever playing, because my wife was in the room while I was playing it, I believe, during that scene, and it's kind of that same feeling you get when you're playing a game, and then like some super like, whatever the game is, you know, some like super like kinky scene or like just like a very uncomfortable scene comes on while you're in the room with some other person, and it's like, oh god, no, I'm not playing a porn game. This is not Leisure Suit Larry. This is just you know, this is two characters, and this is why like you
it's an emotional explain, scene, okay?
Yeah, you almost explain powerful. Like why this is happening. Just like I'm not a pervert. This is one little portion of this great game. That scene was kind of that.
Like anytime a swimsuit scene happens in Persona 4, I'm like, okay, I know that they're kids and they're in swimsuits. Not why I'm playing this game. wait. I would really love to hear Emmy's opinion on this. I hate to drag her into this conversation because she's sitting there in the background, kind of hanging the fuck
out. So, like, okay, just for structure, we've been talking on a wide range of, like, you just want to know what her favorite. Final Fantasy.
Yeah, going with the final. Well, first and foremost, what have you played? So, what have you played? In terms of
JRPGs. Oh, with JRPGs. Well, I first started with Chrono Trigger because I used to watch my brother play it on Super Nintendo, so that pretty much like pulled me in. I played Final Fantasy 6 through 14.
Interesting. So you haven't played 4 or 1.
Actually, I did play 4. I never beat it, though. But I didn't play, like, the really old ones, like 1 through 3.
Yeah.
And right, I also didn't play 5 or any of, like, the Mystic Quest or whatever. But right. I'd have to say my favorite one would probably be... Oh, it's so hard. I really love Tactics.
Because that's dark.
There's a character in that game, and every time I get to this one scene in the game, like... My blood legit starts boiling because I hate this guy so much.
I'm pretty sure the
build up is amazing.
I'm pretty sure that game sold and you could talk about it in specifics.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about Algus, and if you played the War of the Lions edition, his name is Argath. Okay, but that guy is such a fucking dick. I can't stand him. But nice. Yeah, did you guys play that one?
Dude, I've Final Fantasy Tactics is one of those weird games. I played it around 7 years ago, and then I played it, liked it a lot. Then it has that really dark turn at the end, and that ending is just crazy. Like I did not expect it to end that way, because especially if you compare it to any other Final Fantasy game, not like any other Final Fantasy. And so that happened, and then I played like a bunch of other Tactics games directly after it, like Tactics Ogre and a couple of others. So they all just got jumbled up for me. And so all the characters from all of them, I have no idea which is from which. And I have no idea, like, vast swaths of the stories of each of those games has, like, intermingled themselves. So when you name that character, I don't really know what you're talking about. If you describe what he did, probably you would. But I've... all I know is that game's pretty awesome and dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the backstory is that Ramza and Delita are friends, and they come across this guy named Algus, who's trying to meet up with I forgot, this like high-ranking officer, but he basically begs for help from the royal family. So they go to battle and all that, and it turns out like Delita's little sister is, she's like a commoner. She doesn't have any like royal blood in her. Right. So during battle, Algis actually like kills her with a crossbow, and he's just like, damn, whatever. She just has common blood. Like, no one will give a shit about her. And it's just like their attitudes, I feel, is kind of realistic. Like, you know, if you think about, I guess, history medieval and times. Stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It's just crazy.
That's a very interesting specific part of that game to have a lot of feelings about. I don't know. it kind of probably says something about me that I did not remember that at all. But I remember like the crazy, like the whole like ending sequence, how like the main character just disappears into history and all that kind of stuff. Like, I love that stuff about
Final Fantasy. I also feel that with that game, there's like so much nostalgia attached to it because the sound effects in that game like really stand out, especially if one of your characters dies or casts a spell or something.
And not only that, my character never died. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they have that death wail. It's kind of crazy. When you first hear it, you're like, oh shit, like you actually feel bad that someone died, whether you kill them or someone killed you.
So and have you played the Fire Emblem series?
I've played a little of it. I couldn't really get into it. I don't know. I wasn't following the story that closely, but it is kind of similar.
Is that an ambulance?
As mentioned at the start of the podcast, she lives in New York, so she doesn't even realize those sounds are going on half the time.
Which is really weird
playing DayZ, which is what I know her from. And so it's like, we're creeping in the middle of this, like, you know, it's the Russian apocalypse, and then suddenly here, I'm like, what the heck's going on with the noise? What's going on?
Just off in the distance. Yep. Oh man. Wait, so I need to know what all the JRPGs. Have you played the Persona games?
I've played a little bit of Persona 4. I really dig the music. Like, one thing that I love about JRPGs is the music. It really stands out. It makes it especially memorable to me, at least. But
I don't know how someone plays a little bit of Persona 4. I don't know. Well, Durin did the same.
I played like a few hours of it.
Oh wait, actually, I think I meant Persona 3.
Oh yep. No, that's that makes sense. I just made a lot of people. I just made a lot of people angry right there. Who were like, "What are you talking about? Persona 3 is so much better than Persona 4." sorry guys, you know where I stand. But hey, that's cool. So wait, so going back to Final Fantasy X, did you play Final Fantasy X? What's your thoughts on Final Fantasy X?
You know what? I played that when I was in high school. So long ago, and I just remember thinking that Tidus was a bitch. but you know what? Yeah, the voice acting was just so bad. It really got in the way of the storytelling for me, and I just couldn't really get into the characters. It was difficult at the time.
I think it was young enough to not and have just come off kids' TV shows. So it just didn't quite hit me how bad that voice acting was until years later. When I look back at it now, I'm like, holy shit, only like Orin, Kimari, and maybe Lulu are even remotely decent, and everyone else is fucking terrible. Like, see, back at the time, I'm like, Seymour is such a badass. Oh my god, he's like so cool and evil and shit.
So bad.
And now I go back to it, and it's like, holy shit.
Like, I don't know what's worse, though, his voice actor or the character design.
Like, oh my god, that's so dumb.
Like that, whatever that shirt is that he's wearing, I swear he looks pregnant.
I don't know. Some Pooja tops like the worst character design ever.
At least Seymour, you could tell it was a male.
Oh man. Yes. So I guess I don't know. There's no real point in keeping on going on about it, but 5 out of 10. I loved it as a kid for whatever reason, whether I was mistaken or not, and I still love it now, and I've been spending all my time doing that. I also played Doubleton. Some Transistor.
Oh, I too have played some of that. A very small amount, but yes. that is the game.
That game looks so good.
Yes, it does.
Holy cow. Have you guys talked about it in the show before? Because it just came out.
No, I mean, like, it came out. We didn't do a show last week, unfortunately, because people were busy. Right. Yeah, I'm like, we've talked about it during like PAX stuff, I'm sure. But yeah, this is the first time since the game's been out we talked about it. Previous game from Supergiant was Bastion.
Yep. And winner of all of the awards.
Yes. Yep. Wonderful game. A lot of the same crew come back for this one, but it's a lot more Final Fantasy, you might say. Strategery is involved. It's more Final Fantasy in the way of there's a pause menu and you need to use your combos correctly, I guess.
You know what? I'd actually link it more to Mass Effect.
Okay, well, I haven't played any Mass Effect, so shame on me.
Oh, okay. It's kind of neither. It is a unique battle system in terms of what I've experienced before. I've not seen anything like it before. But like it's crazy because Transistor came out, and I was like, oh shit, that game's out. So I immediately bought the soundtrack that you see my priorities there. And then. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not sure if my laptop can run it, but I may as well give it. My PS4 is back in Sydney, so I may as well give it a shot. Downloaded it, paid the bucks, put it on, and it ran. So I immediately went into town, bought a PS4 controller. Came back, hooked up my my monitor, which is next to it, my 22-inch monitor, which is fucking massive in this here. Even it feels huge here. Back home, where I have like a 32-inch TV and a 30-inch monitor in my room, it's shocking to me how like luxurious 22-inch feels where I am right now. But anyway, hooked up my 22-inch monitor, hooked up my stereo system, and just let it kind of roll over me. And I just like sat there on like the starting screen, just walking around and just like watching the animations and shit for a good like half hour. Then I turned it off, went downstairs and told like the one other dude in this entire place who knows what the fuck Supergiant and Transistor is. And he immediately came up to my room and we both just sat there doing the same thing, just like walking around the starting area.
Yeah, I'm about an hour in. How far, like I beat the first lady. Not direct word lady, but the first lady, like actual lady.
So I've literally only fought two battles and then watched the quick look.
Okay.
But I've spent like, what is it? I'm not sure if Steam tracked it because I'm not sure how much of it.
I'm glad I was vague enough in my description for you to have no idea how far I got.
Well, wasn't the lady you're talking about the one in the quick look? Or is she off there?
I am actually talking about a female person.
Interesting.
Not a unit called lady.
Okay.
Just like one of those.
Yeah. So I think I'm not sure if Steam tracked it because I'm not sure where I launched the game from. But I've spent like an hour or two with the game, but it's literally only been setting up settings, tweaking audio stuff, and running around that starting area. So I'm kind of taking it slow.
Yes, that's putting it mildly. Yeah.
I haven't got any achievements yet.
You make Vinny look like a speedrunner.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like when you're like sitting here and you finally have your first weekend off forever, you just kind of want to just chill the fuck out, right? So it's like, but no, that's straight up. And I listened to the soundtrack. That's what I did. I listened to the soundtrack. And I have to say they performed pretty well in that. I can't wait to associate that soundtrack with parts of the game.
I've actually not bought the soundtrack, but when I think I spoke to Durin about this, when he was, we were looking at Wolfenstein, right? When we talked, and then I was like, you know, you could buy two transistors with that instead. And he's like, no, I could buy three. It only costs $20. I was like, oh, right. I immediately thought to, with the soundtrack.
Yep.
It's almost What I did like about that, opposed to Bastion, and like very few games do this, but also very few have the option to do this because they want to do varying levels of difficulty. As soon as you start the game, it just goes straight into it.
Right.
And that's, I thought that was
cool. I love it. It's the new thing, and I hate to blame it on this, but it is because of this. With the new consoles, the fact that they moved the epilepsy warning and all that shit to booting the console, and both consoles have done that from my memory, at least the PS4 has, the fact that they've done that has allowed games to start doing this again, which is fucking awesome. Where literally you boot the game, there's no prompts on screen at all, and you just touch the controller, and then stuff starts happening, and you're immediately in the game. And in this case, it's actually a very interesting scene. Like, I listened to the Bombing of the Aim with Scoops and Wolf today,
Well, and... first off, a lot of people, like, the reason why they had to do that for a lot of game developers was for, like, cert, was because they never knew what type of controller the person had, and so those tutorials, like, press A to start game or go to menu, was basically a, like, smoke and mirrors method of finding out what device they were interacting with.
Yeah, and also it was a thing with, you had to have an input into the game within a certain time of booting the game. Like, this weird cert stuff like that. And you had to have all those warnings. Like,
well, to be fair, the requirement of an input, that's because, you know, we are in a post-Xenosaga world. So that's just kind of a requirement just for our sake.
That's for the world. That's for the world itself and humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was listening to Bombing the AM and they were describing, like, how they felt for some reason that as if they'd accidentally skipped a cutscene or something, or that it was too abrupt, that opening. I kind of had the opposite. I was that loading screen with Transistor on it and the bar down the bottom. That's all the shit I needed to tell me that the game had started. I don't know about you, but I was pretty sure the game had fucking started by the time that ended. So when the actual stuff happened with she getting up and pulling the sword out of some dude, and I don't care if someone that ruined something for someone, because that's literally the first.
Yeah, that is the start of the game.
Yeah, that's the start of the game. She pulls the sword out of a dude lying there, and she can't speak. Like, that was such an intriguing opening. It was such a beautiful opening to that game that I was, like, immediately entranced. It's part of the reason why I just stood there looking at stuff for a while. And then you walk up to her trench coat on the ground, or her evening gown on the ground, whatever it is, and she talks. And sorry, the sword talks about it. That is such a beautiful opening, and it's weird that. Like, my only criticism is, at the start of Bastion, you actually go, from memory, unless I'm horribly mistaken, you actually go quite a bit, like a good 5 minutes or so before you get to combat. It was interesting to me that you start with a cold open, she's very confused, and they didn't stick with the mystery slash detective feel of that for longer. Like, you literally turn the first corner, and almost the first thing you do is get into combat. And that was an interesting move on their part. But aside from that, fucking awesome. And the animations of that game are spectacular. Your thoughts? Where are you at now? Tell me, regale me with your thoughts on Transistor. I don't know.
I mean, I've been the first boss. I've enjoyed it so far. I don't know. It's the stop chess move strategy isn't usually my thing. It's not that I don't like it. It's just for a sustained amount of time. I can't stick with it, but... this has been really nice, and I've been wanting to come back to it, but just finding the right time to sit down and enjoy it. The art, again, I'm loving, but at the same time, it's sort of a reverse issue that Bastion had, whereas Bastion was just like floating world. It was a limited path, just like Transistor, but because there were no walls, the only option was falling to your death, that like you didn't really want to move around the edges of the map and explore. This one, I keep expecting them to have, like, hidden gems somewhere. And so I keep, like, oh, I'll go over here.
And there's almost nothing there.
Yeah, very little. That being said, I have enjoyed the... they seem to... Them and the guys who did Banner Saga are doing more or less the same sort of art level design in terms of, like, generating depth. There's foreground images that pan on a different time than ones in the middle ground and the background. And so that's a really good way to feel immersed in the game. I have enjoyed that. The soundtrack and the different button interactions, like to just stop and have her hum at certain times, is really nice.
Right.
You know about that button, right?
Yeah, okay. I do. It's really cool. Wait.
It's a really good button.
We might have to rewind here for a second. Emmy, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
I don't.
I've been hounding her to get Bastion. I've even offered to give her a copy I have, because I ended up buying it. I bought it originally, and then I bought it with Humble, so I could argue I have two copies, even though you're almost DRM free.
You're the example of the layperson here. What do you know about Supergiant Games and Transistor?
I don't know anything.
Okay, all right. So let me pitch this game to you, because I've heard Thurbleton's been trying to get you to play this game.
I'm sure you're playing Bastion.
Oh, okay. I don't know. This might be an interesting start point as well. So Transistor is a game where it's So it's an indie game. So obviously it's a very low in scope. But in general, what you have is it's a world ruled by technology. Mm-hmm. But how the game starts is you are essentially this female protagonist who's called Red, and she has this characteristic red hair. She literally wakes up from a stupor, or what seems like a stupor. You're not really sure. And she, next to this sword, and she pulls this sword out of a dead body. The dead body's lying there. They're on a rooftop. And you generally have this air of confusion about what the fuck's happening. And the sword itself starts talking to her. And if you look at it closer, it's not just a sword. It actually looks like this technological piece with like circuitry going down it. And it has this voice coming out of it, which is a not a narrator, but it's literally something that does all the talking of the game, because what you immediately find out is that she's lost her voice. Not necessarily she's lost her voice, but her voice, the words of the
her
game
voice
are,
has been taken.
Her voice has been taken. So in this futuristic world, which is ruled by robots, they presumably have all power. Like, they're essentially all powerful, and they've been able to take away her voice. And they've done that because you presumably, as you find out more as the game goes on, it's all about control, all about controlling people's thoughts and their opinions and what they say to one another in this world, because the robots want to keep control. So
like, you get to, as a citizen of this city, you get to vote on what the weather will be like each day.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
It's like one of those kind of worlds. But what you have is, not only have you have this interesting female protagonist with a very cool backstory to her that hopefully evolves more as you play the game, you have this cool and somewhat, I'm not sure if he's not necessarily funny, but he definitely has this dry wit, sword as a second character. And what you have from there is one of the most beautiful games I've ever seen, just in terms of pure art design, and amazing soundtrack, and a really cool battle system. And the battle system itself, we were talking about it, Thurbleton, a bit earlier, but to actually explain it is you run into a field, and it's not like random battles. So enemies are pre-existing on the field in most cases, or they ambush you in other cases. So you're running around the world. It's a isometric kind of look of the entire world, and it's all contiguous. So it's not like a battle area and then like around areas. You're actually walking through the world, and if you come across an enemy, then the battle music starts. But beyond that, nothing else transitions. And what you have is this really interesting evolving battleground. So the world itself is there, but because it's all like this technological world with all these robots and shit, cover comes out of the ground wherever it feels like. So and it moves as well whilst you're battling. So that's one part of it. But when I say cover, I don't mean it's a shooter, because it's not a shooter. She has a sword. What happens is you hit R2 on the controller, or I think it's one of the keyboard keys on the keyboard, and the game pauses. And from there, like, for example, Final Fantasy XIII, you have this bar. And that bar is consumed by different amounts depending on what you choose for her to do. So if you choose skill 2, it'll take maybe like 2/3 of the bar. Skill 1 will take 1/3 of the bar, etc. You know that concept from Final Fantasy XIII, right?
Oh, yeah. The ATB bar.
Yeah, very much, very similar to that. But what you also have is her movement is also part of that bar. So while you're paused, you can plan where she'll move and what she'll do. So when you come out of pause, she immediately moves there and then does that stuff. So when you're actually battling, it's this weird kind of dance where the cover is shifting because either being destroyed or it's moving by itself. You're pausing the game and you're moving her to where you want to. And then like Final Fantasy XIII, you're giving her commands as to what you want her to execute when she gets there. But the enemies are moving at the same time. So it's like this weird kind of chess-like game, as Doubleton described it, where you're planning ahead but also not planning too far ahead. And you have to manage how much of the bar you're using, because the more the bar you use, or if you use it all up, it'll take a while to come back, etc. And all of that is within this like indie game. And I have no idea how they did it.
It actually goes a level deeper than that, Cynic. The moves you have, as far as I know, I don't think there's an upgrade to get more than 4, but you have 4 moves that you can use at any one time. And there's points where you can change this around. Right. But you get more than 4 moves. They're called functions in the game, and actually, like, even going on with the whole, like, you know, cyber futuristic city, your like moves have this weird like code like attributes to them. The whole thing is very well done, but the upgrades of like the different moves you have, when you're not using them and they're not at one of the active 4, they are considered upgrades for the moves that you are using. So let's say there's a move that you basically just drop a bomb. If you don't want to actively use that and you use that for one that lets you like do a quick teleport jump, if you upgrade the bomb move to the teleport, every time you teleport, it does a little explosion.
Oh, interesting. I think you guys sold me on this game because it sounds pretty awesome.
It is really fucking... I didn't know that about that till the quick look, because they were talking about customizability and you see just four options on your menu and you're like, how customizable can it be? But then you actually realize that every single fucking ability you get permutes with every other ability you get. So you can actually make these really interesting kind of...
And I love the way it treats failure. I don't want to say death, because I mean it's just like it. If your health bar goes to zero and you were technically die, what they do is they just make it so that your most commonly used ability can't be used for another two checkpoints or like these data centers where you can like change your moves around.
Oh,
so then you have to change your playstyle around. And then, like, that allows you to use one of those upgrade moves as an actual ability instead. It's neat.
That's awesome.
I guess you can't eventually die if you run out of combat moves and everything. But, yeah, it's a neat way of forgiving the player for, like, you know, not being up to par for whatever the challenge is. And that happened to me at least once in the first hour.
But you don't actually, like, reset the encounter. You just keep going.
No, right? It's just your health goes back up to full, and then you get back in there, and, yeah.
Yeah, so there's an interesting way of like a different way of punishing you. Instead of having to repeat content, now it's just like you have to change the way you play, and that's an example of why Supergiant is so fucking good.
Yeah, if their goal is to try and, you know, give you an interesting experience on this single narrative tale, having you redo that over and over again because you aren't getting like the challenge done is not the best way to game design it. And so their way of designing it is kind of cool.
Yes, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it easier. It actually makes it different, which is awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Like I love the way they did it in Bastion as well, because if you like fell off the side to your death, because it's the same guy who doesn't narrate as the sword, he's actually an active character, but he acts as a narrator in Bastion. He just sort of like rewinds like, oh, it was like, well, he fell off. Oh, no, he didn't. I'm sorry. Wrong story. And then, like, it just rewinds, and you just like land back on it, and it's like, oh, okay, back in the fight.
It is really cool, and I love. I mean, and don't go to spoilers because you might spoil something. I potentially couldn't because I haven't really seen much of it, but I just love everything about that game in terms of its looks. I love its story so far, even though I've only seen the quick look and this, but I love the story. It's really interesting to me hearing criticisms about people feeling like it's confusing or there's not enough told, whereas I actually like the fact that it's not really telling me much.
I mean, it's they're not telling you much, but if you sit back and like watch everything, they're like shoveling all sorts of knowledge at you that if they tried to like ham-fist a plot in there as well, you might just overload and miss out something important, like how like they missed out on the whole upgrade ability system. And so I feel like if I'll give it a full playthrough before I say how I feel about like the plot completely, but I think they're doing an okay job.
Yeah, and I think it's tracking at like 90 or so on average in terms of average reviews. It seems like it's just a fucking solid package, and I'm happy I was in the position to be able to play it, because it dropped just as I started getting free time in my course. So hopefully I was planning to actually play it today, but that's not gonna work. I'm going to watch movies after this, but it's hopefully within the next 2 weeks I'll get it done.
Yep.
Hopefully.
So I think now can we start hashing out your movie opinion, or do we want to save that for later?
Oh, I'm not really opinion. I want to hear your opinion on, because I'm going to watch after this X-Men and Godzilla. That's going to happen. Yep. I'm going to figure out a way to watch both. I have X-Men, Godzilla, and a costume party to get to. I have to do all three tonight. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I might end up skipping the costume party, but I've been asked by a couple people to go, but we'll see. I'm definitely going to watch X-Men and Godzilla.
My beef is not with X-Men. I have very high hopes for X-Men. I enjoyed Godzilla and thought it was a wonderful, wonderful movie and an excellent Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm.
In that every Godzilla movie should never be taken seriously and is completely dumb.
Those aren't the words I want.
Yep.
God damn. Okay, all right. Who's seen Godzilla here? I haven't. I'm going to watch it tonight. Who else has seen Godzilla here?
I've seen it. I saw it two nights ago.
There are so many inaccuracies with this movie. You could climb a mountain with the... I don't know. I can't finish that analogy, but it's... There is so many things.
Nothing really bothered me about the movie. The only thing that really bothered me was Bryan Cranston's hair.
Yeah, that bothers me anytime I see it, though. I can't hold that against a movie.
He has hair? What? I don't want to go harp on too much about Pacific Rim. That movie was terrible. And this sounds like it has the same problems.
You might keep the sheep's wool over your eyes and say it's a wonderfully dramatic movie. There's so much drama with this. The actors are portray so much emotion. it's a movie about some giant iguana beating up San Francisco.
I love how, I'm not sure what context this is in the movie, but I love how one of the quotes from the trailers was like Bryan Cranston's character going like, "Gonna take us back to the Ice Age," or something equivalent to that. And I was like, "This is just one big ass fucking monster." I think you have a weird idea of how shit's gonna go with one big monster in the world.
Bryan Cranston's direct advice from the director was to either whisper or shout his lines.
You will only be doing one of these two things.
Yep.
Hey, does it work? Is he lovable? Like, what's his role in the movie?
Every single line he does in the movie is amazing.
That's fucking awesome. That's great.
From start to end, Bryan Cranston, 100%.
Well, what kind of things would I not like? Like, what kind of inaccuracies? Just like, because, for example, I really like Cloverfield. Like, I fucking loved Cloverfield. That was horribly inaccurate. Like, no monster can take a shell from a tank. Like, I don't care what you're made of. If you're biologically built, you'll go down. Like, a nuke would kill you.
I think Mecha Godzilla might be able to withstand it.
Yeah, but he's not biological. I included that for a reason now. Because well aware of the Mecha Godzilla clause.
Yep, I don't know. It's you probably won't like this movie.
Okay. All
right. I can't wait to hear your opinion afterwards.
I was happy to hear there are other monsters, though. That was interesting to find out. I didn't know it'd be anything beyond Godzilla himself.
It is ignoring the 1998 one. This is a standard Godzilla movie.
And I have to say, well, to be fair, I was like 10 years old or something. I really liked the 1998 Godzilla.
It was fine. It was an okay piece of work, I guess.
He looked cool in that movie. I actually think he looked cooler in that movie.
To be fair, in the 1998 version, he was a she.
Yeah, that's true.
Godzilla was a chick?
Yeah, part of the movie was like Godzilla has a bunch of babies in Times Square or Madison Square Garden. And they have to go in there and blow it up to the music of, was it Jay-Z?
No, it was Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy. Yeah,
it was before he became P. Diddy.
Yes.
Fucking A. That movie's great.
And you had high hopes for this one, Cynic?
No. I liked that movie. That's what I'm saying. I liked that movie. I think I was like 12 years old or something, or 10 years old. But I really liked that movie. So
basically what you need to do is you need to consume enough alcohol to get yourself mentally down to an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And then watch Godzilla.
And then also, after watching this, know that they have signed on for two more.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So we'll get your review of Godzilla on the next episode. You're able to get on.
I just need to say this, and I know that the Jamon community doesn't agree with me in this case, but I agree with the majority of the Japanese in saying, holy shit, Godzilla is a fat motherfucker in this movie.
Their depiction of him in this one, he looks like a fat T-Rex.
Yeah, he's so chunky. I'm like, what the fuck?
Almost like he's a dude in a rubber suit.
I don't care. Like, I want to throw it back. Like, it was amazing when, like, for the first 5 trailers or whatever it was, they didn't show Godzilla. Because when they did show Godzilla, I just laughed my fucking ass off.
Godzilla's performance in the movie Godzilla was exceptional.
Big fat dude gets angry in the movie.
Yes, and he makes it a point to not mess with big fat dudes.
Oh, man. It's fucking dumb. Yeah, no, I can't wait to watch that. And I have really high hopes for X-Men.
Let's move on to what Durin's been playing now that we've been recording this for what feels like an hour and a half.
Yeah, so much for a short episode, huh?
Yeah.
I'm here. It's
okay. Hey, you know what? We got Cynic's part done. We got Cynic's part done. We got the Final Fantasy talk out of the way. We might get done in 2 hours.
We only have, you know, like 5 or 6 news bits. And
I will be very quick with what I've been playing. What have you been playing, sir?
I've had more free time than Cynic. I will admit that. But I haven't had a lot of free time myself either. So most of what I have been playing lately has pretty much just been WildStar, or I guess the open beta for WildStar, which has ended.
Is it changing your world? Is it the next big thing? Is it the MMO to kill WoW? Like, I need to know all your opinions on this.
It is not going to kill WoW.
really?
I hate to report that. But it might kill ESO.
Wow. Okay. No. Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with you on that.
Did that need killing? Did that need killing?
No. I mean, ESO is kind of.
It needed a mercy killing.
I don't know. Like,
it was already on its deathbed.
I bought that game because I was really enjoying it, and I do enjoy it when I play it. But that is the most slow fucking plotting MMO I have ever fucking played.
Just pay the $20 to become an Imperial, and you get everything for free.
I did, and no, you don't. I don't know. Like, it's just, I feel like I've played a pretty large amount of that game, and I'm like level 13, and there are 50 levels to that game, and then there are 10 veteran ranks.
They don't have any end game content. They do now.
They do now. There's they just released a patch today or yesterday, with the first adventure zone, which is kind of their end game stuff. It has some like 4-player four and 6-player content, and then some like 12-player proper raids, which apparently are like properly difficult and all that, which is great for the people who were crazy enough to play it through to the end. Like, in a lot of ways, this feels like what Final Fantasy XI felt like back when it launched. Like, you see all the max level players and just think they are absolutely insane, and you will never reach that point because, you know, I sleep.
You sleep. You have 2 lovely kids and a darling wife and a
sure. And I guess that's maybe the difference. Like, maybe this game, maybe my feelings on it would be a lot different if I was 16 in high school still and had all that free time. But it's definitely not the MMO for the working man, I guess. But WildStar, on the other hand, that is okay. So that company was started by apparently like 17 dudes. And or dudettes, I don't know exactly who all it was, that left Blizzard back in 2005, so about a year after WoW launched, or somewhere after WoW launched, still during vanilla WoW, and formed that studio to make a game. They wanted to make something that was not WoW, and wanted to, you know, basically not make the same mistakes again. And so that game's development started in 2005. We're now in 2014, and it's finally releasing. Yep. And it kind of shows in some ways, like not in the bad ways. Like, it's not like this feels like a game from 2005, but more so, this is probably, from everything I've seen so far, which granted, you know, I feel like I've only really scratched the surface. I haven't seen any of the in-game stuff yet, but I do know it's there. This is probably like the most fully featured launched MMO that has come out in recent times. Like, they have just a boatload of shit in this game to do.
As what's impressive is they've stated that they have a year's worth of endgame content already made.
Yeah, yeah, that's not like, surprising.
Like for most MMOs, they come out and like they don't have anything planned for endgame or like the next month's like events. And the fact that these guys already have stuff in like the war chest, so to speak, that's impressive.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, there's so goddamn much to it. And everything that I've done with the game so far has been fun. Like everything, the combat is so it's action combat, so it's not, you don't have to target anybody. It's done through telegraphs on the ground. I think I talked about this a bit on here, so I'll keep this short. But like that feels pretty fresh. It's not the reticle based like Terra, so you still have proper mouse control, which is really handy. That's one thing that bothered me about ESO 2 is I don't like it when they take control away from my mouse and I can't click on people. And I have to go through these ridiculous commands in order to like add somebody to a party or inspect somebody. The art is very much WoW inspired. I imagine one of those 17 original founding members, at least one of them, was from the art team. Because this game, in a lot of ways, feels like what WoW tried to do, but done with the proper tech to do it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just there's a lot to it. I'm enjoying everything. I've played every class, but I think the highest I've gotten is like 14. And again, the cap is 50. But it, like, the only reason I've only gotten that high is not because the game feels slow like ESO. It's just that I've probably put in like, I think I've played like probably 7 different characters throughout the course of the beta. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've talked about it enough. I'm not sure how much more I have to say about it.
It sounds like an MMO. Sounds like an MMO. I don't know.
It is an MMO. And the thing about it, too, I think that's really interesting is it's actually a lot of the people who are really into it say that it is an MMO for the hardcore MMO player. Like, this game will have 40-man raids. This game will have attunements. Stuff that they pulled out of WoW, you know, probably for the better, but that, you know, there were people that definitely enjoyed those things, and it's nice to see an MMO maybe catering to some of those people. But the interesting thing about it is, like, I, you know, myself as well as a couple of my friends who are also going to be getting the game, we're all very much casual MMO players. And there's enough in there to intrigue us as well and get us kind of hooked and along for the ride too. So, like, it's neat to see an MMO, because usually you see, you know, basically one way or the other. Like, you see either completely, totally hardcore, or you see most of which is, you know, made for the general audience, and gets devoured by players within a month and then they'll quit. Yeah. So I think because of what they have to offer in this one, I think they have a pretty decent chance of sticking around for a while. And they do have that cred system as well. So like, if you do play a lot of the game, you can supplement your subscription with that. So that, I think, will help a lot for, you know, the real hardcore players. But I believe they've also said that because they went with a subscription model, one of the important things they wanted to get out there for people to know is, like, they will not charge you for stuff. Like, there's not going to be, you know, pay $25 for a mount or, you know, $10 for a pet or whatever. Everything that is available in the game is going to be available to you as a subscriber. So, I mean, obviously we'll see if that holds long term.
What kind of impression have you gotten of the economy so far? Like, what is because like, that's one of the main things wrong with Elder Scrolls Online is the economy.
Well, the economy is screwed in Elder Scrolls because of an exploit that didn't get fixed quick enough.
Well, not necessarily that. I mean, like, just like the price points they set for things, for example, and the fact that you get one gold from all kills and all that kind
of thing. Oh, right. Yeah, no, in this one, it seems about where it probably should be. I know if you do crafting, you know, from the beginning and kind of stick with it, when you get to the point where you are high enough level to get your first mount, you might be a little shy on gold. Whereas if you sell just everything, you'll have plenty of gold by that point. So, I mean, to me, that kind of feels like, you know, the right balance so far. Right. Again, I haven't gotten to the late game, so I'm not sure how that all works out exactly. But it seems like, you know, they have spent some time on that and they balance those numbers pretty well. Another nice thing is the game uses the Lua scripting. Same as WoW, so like it supports add-ons and they're already in, which is really handy. Like, I've already downloaded a sell all my gray junk items add-on, and that's really handy.
Nice.
But yeah, like it's just it's when a lot of games are so at one point in MMO, it was like a lot of games were just trying to be the next WoW. A lot of developers and publishers were just throwing money at that, and that never seemed to work out for anybody. So now, like, they're all trying to differentiate themselves and be like, this is our thing. This is what's, you know, what we think is important. This is our key feature or whatever. Trying to almost like push themselves as far away from WoW as they could.
Yeah.
This one actually, like, it's not that they seem like they're trying to emulate WoW. It's just, this is an MMO made by people who made WoW, but trying to make it better in right. some ways. Which kind of makes it a little interesting. But yeah, no, I'm totally on board and can't wait to play. Like the open beta is actually over, but I recently discovered they're doing something called like Ops Week this week where they're like testing server launches. So I'm right. still kind of able to get my fix in until head start.
See how it goes. Like that's the crazy thing with MMOs, right? It really comes down to how it operates post launch. We've all seen enough of these by right. now to say, yeah, an MMO can look fucking promising from the get-go, but it really comes down to the community, how it comes first launch, and whether... I'm not even talking about stability. I'm just straight up talking about, like, how does the game grab you, and does it keep grabbing you the whole way through?
Right, yes. Games, I mean, ESO totally grabbed me in the beta, and then I went and played yeah. it at launch, and I kind of fell off it pretty quick, like probably the quickest I've ever fallen off an MMO. Yeah, so
it's going to be interesting to see. Like, it's... That's what all comes out of it. Their promises for the extreme amount of content they have lined up, ready to go right. for post-release. It's going to be
yeah. interesting. Like the actual release of the MMO isn't probably the most important point. It's kind of that, you know, 45 days later, like, yeah. what do you have out there? Like, what have you done?
Like, what a lot of players will do is they'll migrate from MMO to MMO, and it's that first, like you said, the 40 days where once the majority of people make it to level cap, right. they're more or less done. It's they don't really want to stick around, and one of the cool things, and like one of the things that allowed me to play World of Warcraft for so long, is I kept jumping from different end game type of thing to do. And one of the things right. I noticed that they're doing that is really cool is not only the emphasis of community in world PvP as well as in PvE, so like the, mm-hmm. the rating, but then also the like. Hey, we'll spawn this guild structure and we'll upgrade it and defend it and all that. But then, like, promoting that cross pollination of, like, oh, let's say you guys have done a PvE raid, you get a token where you can drop that raid boss in the PvP zone and he will fight for you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of hilariously or awesome.
Or even doing things like, you know, a lot of MMO players, for, you know, varying reasons, really enjoy player housing. And so, like, they're taking that kind of to another extreme in this one where, like, not only do you have player housing, you can also choose to have neighbors. And your neighbors can have access to your housing while you're not there, which can be handy because...
I mean, I don't think that's an amazingly weird thing because Animal Crossing is a thing that happens.
Well, right. But what they're doing with that, though, is in your player housing, you can actually... grow resources.
Yeah, yeah, you can totally do animal house.
But it's like this is in MMO, and so like if you say I'll go on vacation, you're going to be away for a while, and you can't harvest your stuff. You can have one of your neighbors come in and do it, and you and your neighbor both get a portion of what they harvest.
Did I say animal housing? I meant Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It was understood.
Correction. For those who didn't know, Animal Crossing. Jeez.
Nook's Racket, the game. But yeah, I mean, like the player housing, like they're kind of taking it to the next level with that, you know, you're able to build crafting stuff in your player housing, able to build raid portals in your player housing. So you can kind of have your house be kind of your guild's hub for doing your weekly stuff. And like I said, the neighbor thing is actually really interesting too. And just being able to visit and interact with each other in that way. Like they're taking kind of all of these major points that the MMO players enjoy, and like not only just implementing them, but doing so in a smart and interesting way.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely probably hear more about WildStar. I'm doing terrible this job here, but I don't know, man.
This is interesting because like, you know, it is a different thing. It's same but different. Like they're actually doing what World of Warcraft's doing, and to be honest, this is more or less what I have to deal with when you guys talk about Final Fantasy. So the fact that Cynic is like wiggling right now, is trying to get out of this situation. I almost want to have Durin keep talking about it, but for the sake of time, We'll move on to anything else we've been playing, Darren? I think that's more or less it.
It's more or less. I booted up Bastion the other day after all this Transistor talk because I never finished Bastion.
What?
So I'm going to start trying to play through that.
If you do end up beating it, I would love to hear what your decision is, and I can't say more than that of just what your decision is.
It's not very long, right? Like, it's like...
No, it's like five hours.
Yeah, less than 10.
Okay. Yeah, I stand a pretty good chance of beating that then.
Nice. All right, sweet. I guess before we go to me, Emmy, is there any games you want to talk about you've been playing? Any Crazy DayZ stories?
DayZ stories. Just, I guess checking out Experimental is a lot of fun with all the new content, like cooking, fishing.
Okay, so DayZ is a game that is in Steam Early Access. Some would say the most successful Steam Early Access game. But despite it being like a game that is super hot alpha, they actually have a even hotter version of the game in terms of just like how many times it will break.
Hang on. DayZ is the alpha of super hot?
Yes, that's correct. Time stops between zombie killing. Yes. No. Nice pickup there. The experimental version, effectively like the public test server of DayZ, where you actually get they want players to get on and like test the stability and see what breaks on a mass scale. But for a lot of people, it's just we are, you know, getting kind of bored between updates. So the best thing to do is to sort of get a head start on what the next update is by going on the experimental servers. Mm-hmm. So that's what that is. I guess Emily, if you wanted to continue, sorry for cutting off.
Oh no, it's okay. Recently, we were playing on a non-experimental server, so like a stable branch, and it was funny. Thurble actually dueled this new spawn, so the new spawn basically had nothing, and we gave him a gun, and they had a duel, and I don't know what happened. It must have been lag or something, but the new spawn won, and he basically took all of Thurble's stuff. But Thurble happened to have two blood bags on him. One was from that guy. He took his blood sample before he got killed.
I will interrupt you to get a bit of context on this.
What is happening?
Yeah. If you had you guys the questions, feel okay. Start with the questions, Cynic, I guess. If it sounds like you
what
got
is
them.
Any of that?
Okay. From the top. I don't know if you know this.
New spawn is, I assume, someone who's only just spawned for the first time with a new character, right?
Yeah, it is essentially, it's a weird multiplayer roguelike game in that the big draw of the game is you collect these, like, collect gear, collect food, whether it be medical supplies, military supplies, stuff like that, and then use that to an initial degree versus zombies, to a greater degree, like the real threat in DayZ is the other humans. So you're obviously hunting other players, possibly helping other players. It all depends on your interaction with them and what you choose to do in the game. As a person who doesn't enjoy the, like, bandit, let's kill and be horrible people to everyone, because that weirds me out trying to act like that, I instead just do, like, put people in awkward situations, like having a Wild West shootout with them. So we come across new spawns who are people with just the most basic of gear. Relatively, like, they have a battery and a flashlight, and that's it.
Right.
So, initially, as a new spawn, coming across somebody who will not shoot you right away, who is well-geared, is a rarity, because for new spawns, they have a notorious nature of, like, well, I have nothing to lose, I might as well try and punch this person to knock him out and take all of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody not immediately shooting you on sight as a fresh spawn is, you know, already starts off to, this is weird. and to be fair, someone in our group did shoot this guy in the leg before we had the duel.
So if I interpret this correctly, so you just lost to a dude whose leg had been shot?
No, we fixed his leg.
Okay, all right. So he fixed his leg and then you lost to the dude who's just recently recovered from a broken / shot leg.
Yeah, well, we patched him with some medical supplies. He was more or less okay. And then I offered, like, all right, here's this fun thing we can do. I'm kind of bored. I don't mind losing all my stuff because It is a roguelike. You have to embrace death because it will eventually happen. You're not playing to live. You're playing till you die. I use a Virtual Audio cable to pump like Wild West shootout music. And then once the music stops, we have a we like both pull the guns out and shoot.
Nice.
Every time up until him, I've won. So this is the first guy who's actually beat me.
Interesting. All
right. And so I was just like, this is awesome. This is cool. So yeah, he gets everything, and then he gets his stuff, starts to leave, but then he comes back. It's like, hey, I'm still black and white from the loss of blood, because as you lose more blood and you get closer to death, the saturation and the color goes out. It's something that the DayZ mod had as well. So he asks us to give him some blood, which can only be administered by a second person. You can't give yourself blood, and that's the fast way of getting your health back. Blood works closer to real life than it does in other video games, in that people have different blood types. There's O negative, O positive, A, B, C, like, well, not C, A and B and all that. So, like, there's different blood types. Certain blood types can give to others and be okay. They cannot receive from others, or else bad things will happen, like death. So
death is bad usually.
Yes, death is usually bad when you're expecting to instead get, you know, the life force that keeps us going. So I guess Emmy, if you want to keep going from there, this is as I call it.
You can explain it better.
Okay. So yeah, this is Russian roulette at its finest, because he actually doesn't realize that I had only taken one blood sample from him while we were patching up his leg.
Right.
The second blood sample was from another person, and I hadn't gotten around to testing the blood to see what type it was.
I see. Okay.
And I have now respawned, so I can't warn him about all of this. And Emily is just like, nah, I won't tell him. I'll just, you know, put this IV kit on it and then just give him the blood. And if he dies, free stuff.
I love that DayZ just kind of makes everybody an asshole.
it's
so great.
It's not quite an asshole simulator. It is a hobo simulator.
It really is.
People have described it as.
It's hobo and running simulator.
But yeah, it's while this is going on, while like she administers the first one, and I was pretty sure that was, you know, his blood, so he gets it no problem. And then she goes to administer the second. And at this point, I am no longer sitting in a chair. I am standing up, just like
on the edge of your proverbial seat.
It's like knowing a train is about to hit someone, and you're just out of earshot. But miraculously, like, this guy was the luckiest man on earth, because not only had he survived getting shot in the leg, surviving a Wild West gun shootout, and receiving a like blood that
random
wasn't,
blood bag.
Yeah, random blood bag. He lived, and like away, and he didn't get shot by any of the people we were with who were like. They've been known to, like, we meet two new spawns, and they're like, which one should we shoot first? I'd pick this one. No, I'd pick this one. He should be shot first. And they're like...
To be fair, I was kind of curious, because I've never seen anyone die from receiving the wrong blood type. So I just kind of wanted to see how quickly it would kill him if it did happen.
Yeah, it's always fun to just do science, yeah. So yeah, that is one thing that's happened in DayZ. Like it's fun to. I know usually how the shooting scenarios will play out. It's always fun to see how the other scenarios and just like how weird I can make a situation get.
Yeah, and that's definitely like the reason people were so excited about that game when it first emerged.
You can, there's mechanic to put stuff in your mouth, and there's mechanic to. Put stuff in other people's mouth when they're chained, and then there's this thing called like poison, or what was it? Cleaning solution?
Something like that.
Yeah, and you can put cleaning solution in people's mouth and kill
that's
them.
Kind of that's kind of fucked up, right?
Yeah, it's not like it's not trying to be malicious. It's just being a complete, full-rounded sandbox, like, you know, experience that you can do whatever you want, and so everyone on the internet just is the most horrible person.
Yep. Anything else?
Okay, we need to start talking about DayZ because I'm on its Steam page right now.
I told you when it was on sale last week. You got it.
It was like $4 off. Come on.
It was 13.
Still a good deal.
Yeah. Anyway, You also been playing Papers, Please, right, Emmy?
Yes, I have. Sorry, there's like a huge ambulance or something.
Really, really, the giant bomb community should be like, this is a preparation for them.
Yeah.
That's the giant bomb beast.
Like, Alex just has some great audio set up or something, but like when Vinny and Alex get there, this is just going to hear this 24/7.
What's Jesus.
You were yeah, I have been playing. I live in New York City in Manhattan. So,
oh, jeez.
So, yeah, there's a shitload of street noise.
It's great.
I live on the 8th floor, too, so you would think, you know, that I wouldn't hear
that's
that.
That's from the 8th floor?
Oh, fuck. That's great.
But yeah, I recently saw that Papers, Please went on sale, so I did a little bit of research about it. Usually my first stop for like game deals and stuff is Reddit. So I read a lot about the game, and I was kind of intrigued. I picked it up for, I think, like $5 or so, which is an awesome deal. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. I mean, the premise is you're kind of like this immigration officer of this fictional country called Astroshka.
Don't worry, to Astroshka.
But it's kind of like similar to Russia or the Soviet Union. And like they just opened up a border there. And a lot of people are trying to get in, I guess, to work or, you know, reunite with their family. But a lot of it is kind of checking to see if all their documents are up to date, if they have the correct documents, or if they have like forged passports and stuff. And it kind of seems like just by that description, it kind of sounds boring, but actually a lot of characters keep coming back, and there's a story behind some people, and just kind of like the background.
Sure. So I'm like the only person here who hasn't played this, right? Like I own it, but during you've played it?
I played it before it was back when it was like on their website or whatever. It was just a download. Right. So I played like I guess, you know, the free version of it or whatever.
Yeah. To anybody listening on the fence, I'm pretty sure there's like either a demo or just a free version on their site that you can get that is just like the first 7 days or something.
Right. And that kind of falls under the first question, like which, because it goes by days, and each day, like the challenges change.
Each day is like more stuff will happen. Like I've actually made it. I think there's 30 days total. I'm somewhere in the 20s. I'm sorry. I thought you said my name.
No, yeah, I've only made it through maybe like 10 days or so. I got to keep playing it. But the crazy thing is, so at the end of each day, you go home to your family, and there's kind of like this meter that shows the health of all your family, which includes your mm-hmm. son, your wife, your uncle, and your mother-in-law.
Are they all dead yet? Have you killed them all yet?
I have, yeah.
What? No way. No way have you actually lost everyone.
It was so hard in the beginning. Like, I didn't really know what I was doing. And I kept getting so many citations because I would let the wrong people through or turn people away when they were supposed to come through. So if you get a lot of citations or, you know, you mess up a lot, you take home less salary at the end of the day, and you need that salary to pay for heat, food, and medicine, and all that kind of stuff.
So you failed to keep your family alive after 10 days.
Yep.
Living in the Eastern Bloc is hard, man. If you think living in the middle of nowhere in Australia is tough for a couple weeks, try 10 days in the Eastern Bloc, man.
How have you stayed employed? Why are they still? What is wrong with you?
Again, it's the Eastern Bloc. She's actually the best employee they have.
I see.
She got
it's
an award.
Because like people try to bribe you and everything, and they give you like business cards saying, "Oh, you know, I'm stripping at this club. Come meet me." You know, so that you would let them through. It's a little crazy.
Nice. I. What is your story so far? What choices have you made so far? Have you accepted bribes yet, or did you let the dude who was wanted through, or like?
I actually, yeah. So there's this kind of like secret rebellion going on, and they offered me $10,000. So usually at the end of the day, like I would come home with maybe like $20 or so. Mm-hmm. And they offered me $10,000. I was like, oh shit, you know, my family is all sick. I could get them medicine. I can get them heat and food. So I took the bribe. And then not even 2 days later, the government shows up at my doorsteps and arrests me, and the game was over.
Whoa. That's cool. I like that. Is there a way to actually accept that bribe and get away with it, Doubleton? Or is that?
I think so. Depending on how you play, I have had a bribe accepted and like the money confiscated, and then the Department of Inquiry takes the money and does it like runs a background check, and I passed for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it might have been like. Maybe I was helping the resistance people out enough that they were able to cover the trail, or I don't know, because like there's been
when it told me that they basically caught me. They said that a neighbor like spoke up and said that they noticed that my family was doing a little better than the teacher or something like that.
I see. Oh, that's really interesting. I like that a lot.
So like the crazy thing about it is like as you're saying, there's. Different like people have different stories, and this overarching story emerges. But on top of that, or as in tandem with that, you have to make all of these spot decisions that are decisions you wouldn't normally make in a video game. Like it's a person, a good example, and I'm curious what your decision was on this. Emmy, it was a guy comes through with the proper credentials, and then says, "My wife's coming through behind me." Could you let her pass or something? Just saying, my wife's like, you know, coming up next, please be nice to her. And she doesn't have the proper credentials.
Yeah, I think she was missing an entry permit or something.
Like she just like forgot it or something. And then it's like, oh, I.
So naturally you told her to fuck off and go home, right?
Well, it's like, do you do that? Or do you let the happy couple pass that are like, they haven't
broken
any.
I got kids to feed.
Yeah, that was back to her country. I was like, you know what? My son is sick. If I don't get him medicine tonight, he's gonna die. And I need to, you know, continue my family line. So I'm sorry, you gotta go back to your country.
That's right.
Damn, that's cold. No, yeah, I probably did the same.
It's cold, but her house isn't.
Yeah. Wow.
That's okay. That's good. I like that. There.
No, literally my friend who played it as well, he said he told me about his process for that game was to be as fucking optimal as possible. So, like, you know how there's that hobo guy who kind of shows up with, like a hand-drawn passport and shit?
That guy's great.
Yeah. So he actually let him through on the first day because he knew he'd come back. So essentially he skipped those scenes so he could be faster the next day. So he could process more people because that guy wouldn't keep coming back. Well, so he did shit like that the whole way.
That's kind of a dumb thing to do because you get paid for every correct person you process. Not the person, like not how many people you went through.
And you always know he's wrong. So you just turn. Yeah.
He's not always wrong. He's eventually right. And there's actually there's a part I won't say when, but I know that I'm pretty sure Emmy's passed it already like twice. There's a part where he's gone through like he's made it through once already, and so it's like, oh, it's this guy again. I can let him through, but then you're like, wait a second, he weighs a bit too much, and he sneaks in sneaks in drugs.
Wow!
And you call him on it, and this is like. This sold me on the game, even though I'd already purchased it. As the guards are taking him away, he just says, yeah, it's no problem. Drugs are bad.
That guy is so chill.
And I was just like, you're the best guy ever. I wish I let you through. It's like after school specials going on in this game.
I just realized it's 1:09 and I have to leave soon. Oh no!
So no news then, I guess.
No, we could probably do news. We could probably do news, but that's about it.
Well, okay. Anything else you want to talk about for games you've been playing, Amy?
I think that covers it for now.
All right. I really haven't been playing much other than stuff we've already been talking about. Let's see. I got Volgar the Viking, but really haven't even gotten past the first level of the first world sort of thing. So Yeah,
that's, I can't believe Brad beat that game.
Yeah, that's a game. That's a tough game. That is a very cruel and unforgiving game that you must beat on. You must beat on perfect. Kerbal update. Haven't really progressed much. I'm wrapping my head around the idea of, oh yeah, you don't know. I'm racing a coworker to Mars in Kerbal Space Program.
Oh, I think I heard a little bit about that.
For $5. If I win this, it will be the best $5 I've ever won.
How close are you now?
Not even close.
do you know how close the coworker is?
About,
or are you guys
the same.
Not sharing information?
No, we're sharing information. He like hasn't been playing as much as I have, but he has a much better understanding of how the game works and things like slingshotting off a planet.
I see. So he knows physics.
Yes. He is a basic
rookie physics, and you are just strapping shit to a pile.
Yeah, so. I am doing a refined version of the Vinnie Caravella approach. but it's like, I have friends, actually, honorary co-host of the podcast, Mage Knight, has been dropping a few tips for me. A bit like, I don't want to accept the full, like, you do it for me sort of thing, but he's linked me something on GitHub that I've been staring at every now and then of like, I could use this if I knew how it worked. That is a
I learned a long time ago, don't talk to Mage Knight about Kerbal if you ever want to play that game.
It is a launch window planner where you punch in where you're starting and where you want to go, and it will tell you things like what departure you need to take, what your delta V should be, whatever that is.
Which that's is awesome.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking at it and it's like, I don't know how this works, but I think I will. Like, it's basically, I think I need to learn oral mechanics to earn this $5.
Worth it. It's worth it.
Apparently. Yeah, I've made a monstrous craft that can somehow get into space, and I think I need to even make I think I need to make like a Godzilla-sized craft compared to this one to just brute force my way to Mars.
So you just need to make him fat.
Yes.
Okay. I do not want to ruin this for you, Thubbleton, but no, you don't.
You say that.
Back to the drawing board.
And it's the only thing I know how to do. Is just make it fatter and get it into space.
Straight up. That's not how we do things.
And the terrifying thing is like after, like, I have another coworker who's not part of this debate, and he just dropped like the worst bombshell on me that, like, pretty much with the moon landing. Okay, so anybody who's played Kerbal or even like seen a screenshot of it, there's like the whole like moon or bust image of the lunar lander that is like sideways, that's landed on, like, inverted commas, quote unquote, landed on the moon. That's how my moon landing went.
Ah, I see.
And having to contend with a Martian surface that I have to like match its lunar, like its rotating speed with to even get a safe landing.
Yeah,
that's going to be terrifying. Let alone getting to Mars. So,
well, I mean, you don't have to land properly, though, right? You just need to hit the surface, right?
Yeah, like the wager is get a Kerbal on the planet alive.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I fear like that. That is going to be like the biggest fear in the back of my head of like once I get a craft there, however much of a miracle that'll be, I'll have to do it a second time with a improved lunar. Or a Martian lander. God,
you're so screwed. If you can't figure out how to get to Mars, you are so screwed.
So that's a thing. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing lately. Yeah. Hopefully I'll have Volgar done and Transistor done and a bunch of other stuff. Next time we do a podcast, let's go to news. What's
Cynic?
Datelines 2014. Cynic, what's with the news in the world?
Oh god, am I doing the news? Am I? Oh,
yes,
no,
sure.
Not Noobarama. Let's have a look. All right, well, there's a couple topics we want to talk about. One of which I wanted to talk about and pretty much just laugh about was, oh my god, they finally dropped the fucking Kinect. Finally, after all this time, and that is all I need to say. But,
yes.
Like, Durin, did you call it? Did anyone call it from here?
No, I don't believe so, because that who could have fucking called that they were going to do that, especially do it like pre-E3.
Yeah.
Like nobody could have fucking called that. Patrick Anti called that.
Yeah, that was kind of the best thing on the Bombcast.
Fantastic editing.
That was so great.
That was good.
I'm gonna miss. Just straight up, I saw that like hours after it happened because I came back from work and checked online. And I just like, I had to pause everything I was doing and hit near gap just to see the size of the thread that was made about this talk, because it's so. It's one of those things we've been asking them to do from the start, and at no point did they ever give an indication that they'd fucking do it. But they, right. And it was the smartest decision they could have done. And it was so obvious the whole time. But the fact that they finally fucking did it was legitimately shocking.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to, I think one of the earliest episodes of The Point with Danny O'Dwyer on GameSpot talked about how, Sony is probably going to win because they're building something for the hardcore gamers, which are the first people to buy stuff. And when casual friends talk to their gamer friends about what console they should get, they're going to recommend that over the Xbox.
Yeah, exactly.
I just heard some weird audio, but hopefully I'll have to edit that out and write the time. And all of this too, whatever. But yeah, it's kind of bumming that now Xbox has taken out everything that makes them a unique thing, and pretty much there's a glorified PC now.
Yes. And it's sad because now there's literally nothing interesting about the Xbox One, or really the PS4, compared to the 360 and PS3, aside from the fact that they're newer and flashier. That's pretty much it.
I think PlayStation Now is potentially interesting, depending on how that all turns out.
Yes, very much so. And Remote Play is amazing. Have you tried it yet much, Julian?
A little bit, yeah. I played a little bit of Resogun on it, and yeah, it seems to work. I mean, it's... you're doing it on a local network. I haven't tried it not local to see how well that works.
Me neither.
On a local network, yeah, it totally works. There's not there is some lag, but it's not terrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of remote play, hot scoops for any PC gamers out there. Steam has apparently gone completely. Anybody can use it. It's out now for everyone. Steamos remote play feature.
In-home streaming. It's not actually SteamOS. You don't need SteamOS to do it. It's a function of Steam.
I got kind of this weird thing when I looked on the Steam store and I saw Tropico, now available, coming to SteamOS later this year, because it's in all caps.
Yeah, they didn't think that through. I've seen that a couple of times.
I still think they need to have their spokesman be John Stamos for SteamOS.
There's another game that's doing the same. It was literally on the front page now. I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, SteamOS, that's a thing now, isn't it? It's legitimately surprising to me how I haven't really heard much about that since it came out. Am I dropping out?
You went a little bit robot-y there in Australia.
Am I back to normal?
Yeah, it's fine. It's been a while since we've been on a podcast, so some people have forgotten what it's like to hold a connection from Australia.
Yeah, and from mobile internet, like I haven't before.
There's a problem with this call. Hold on while we try to get the call back. Gotta love Skype.
Hello.
All right.
We're back?
Yeah, I hope.
All right, we're back. I was just going to say, have any of you heard anything about SteamOS? Terms of people accepting it, people picking it up, people installing it? Have you guys installed
the... thing I heard from SteamOS, I haven't done anything of it. It's just the only bit I heard was Alienware's SteamOS device will be the least profitable.
Well, the least profitable Alienware device.
Yes. Yeah. For them. That's how low it's been on the news front sort of thing. So it's whatever.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're basically shooting for console pricing. So probably $400 or so.
Yeah, and
they're going to release a new one every year. So,
and to be fair, I mean, it's never been Valve's way to have big hype trains going or anything unless they really want it. And so, they're probably just going to keep this on the back burner until hey, just keep feeding it in little teaspoons, and then eventually be like, oh yeah, we've all been assimilated into this thing.
I honestly don't see that happening, but I
really, because Steam is. If you think about it, one of the worst DRM things out there. There's no refund policy like Origin.
I'm not saying that part. I'm saying there's no way we're going to be all using SteamOS ever.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's pretty much on the backbone. You want to talk about Oculus and ZeniMax?
Yeah, so just to round up the Xbox thing.
Talk about real beef.
Microsoft, obvious, blah, 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 blah. Then suddenly they made the decision, yay, Microsoft, you're actually listening. Good for you. Hopefully you sell some consoles now and make some games people care about. Moving on. See, ZeniMax files lawsuit against Oculus, and yeah, that's kind of sad. I'm kind of saddened by that in general. Like, it's the fact that they had a dispute in the first place was one thing, and that was like, okay, I can see this going badly. Hopefully it doesn't go badly. But now it's going all the way bad. And if it wasn't for people like Sony also joining in on this VR train, it would be really bad for the industry.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just like ZeniMax. I think Alex like pretty much put a hammer on the nail with just like ZeniMax sees that they can get some money out of this. They're fighting and making it as much of a whiny speech, trying to get as much money from Facebook as they can get.
Yeah,
it probably won't go to court. They're probably going to settle out of it.
See, I don't know. That's kind of the weird thing though about it is like, they stood a chance of getting some money out of it before they were bought by Facebook, but now that they're bought by Facebook, that's the whole reason they're even trying to get the money.
Yeah, they want to get more money.
But the thing is, though, Facebook's lawyers have more money than ZeniMax's lawyers, and that's really all that matters in all this.
Well, I mean, it does, but also, is it
like Facebook just has more lawyers?
Is it financially worth it for Facebook to pay their lawyers to drag this out and fight it?
They just spent $1 billion on this. It is absolutely financially worth it for them to do that.
Well, yeah. Like, if let's say ZeniMax is asking for like $3 million, just like throwing a number out there, and it costs $4 million in legal fees by the like time to actually go to court and fight this out, even if they'll win.
The thing is, I don't. ZeniMax is not looking for a dollar amount. ZeniMax is looking for a continued dollar amount off the success of Oculus.
All right. That's so.
That's where this kind of comes in. Like, if they were just saying, like, hey, you know, he used some of our code. We want, you know, a piece of this Facebook buyout money, that'd be one thing. But that's not what ZeniMax is looking for. ZeniMax is looking for a stake in the company.
You're trying to get into Facebook games? But no, yeah, I see where you're going with it. It's just like that's where the argument is going to go. And, like, yeah, if it does end up going to court, then bummer. But I think, yeah, Facebook will probably... I'm not worried for Oculus. I'm worried for ZeniMax.
I'm worried for Oculus because if this actually goes into court, it can potentially tie up when they're allowed to put a product purchasable in the market. Because if there's suits around the actual technology in a product, for example, the massive lawsuits between Samsung and Apple in and around the launches of the Galaxy S, I think it was 2, and the iPhone 4S, that kind of period. Those technologies, like phones, were just wholesale blocked from being sold in countries for long periods of time because of those lawsuits. And the same things could potentially happen to the Oculus Rift, delaying what is essentially part of what I see as gaming's future, which is VR. Like, that could be a massive problem if shit gets further real and stuff isn't settled as soon as possible. And as Durin said, I'm not sure if ZeniMax will accept a straight up buy, like just to pay and fuck off. Hopefully they do.
Well, and if they do, it's going to be a very large sum of money. Exactly, we're not talking single digit millions or something like this.
What one can hope, they don't have much money left after all the horrible times those games have gone under.
It's funny because, like you said, that you know you feel bad for ZeniMax. Like, in some ways, I kind of do too, because they kind of hit us with this double whammy of, you know, we want Oculus Facebook money. Oh, and also no Fallout 4.
Yep.
It's kind of a double whammy of fuck you to the gamers.
Yep. All right. So Twitch is getting bought out by YouTube. Possibly.
Oh,
YouTube is looking in possibly to buying Twitch.
It would be a brilliant decision on their part to do so.
Yes, they would get some of that sweet, sweet money.
Yeah, they're going to buy Twitch and then ban all the players for streaming video game content.
That's the scary part.
I don't think it would be immediately the video game content. It would be the music that is unlicensed that they're playing while streaming something.
Yeah, because Twitch has tried to come down on that, and I think that lasted like a month. And then everyone just started streaming music again.
Yeah, they wouldn't ban them. They would just make it so that they couldn't make any money, and that the money they would be making instead go to like some music like retailer that isn't even the person who made the music. Anybody who made a claim that, hey, that I sort of sell that music.
So dumb. It's so dumb.
It is really dumb.
And that's the thing, like, because when Google buys something, it either becomes
it assimilates
a part of their ecosystem or it disappears, right? And Taste of Tissues, it's not going to disappear. They bought it for the user base. So
it is going to
be assimilated. There's not be a case where it hasn't been assimilated. So people who are saying, oh no, maybe we'll just buy them and leave them alone. There's no pre-existing case where they've done that. So it is a case where it's very possible that it becomes like twitch.google.com or some shit. Or it could twitch.com, but it'll have Google branding all over it. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, best case scenario, we'll get Twitch powered by Google.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
you know,
like,
what would really suck if they tried to integrate Google Plus in everything?
Oh, yeah.
You have to log in with your Google Plus account. Yeah.
And you have to use like your real life name.
Oh, you know what? That would actually be a benefit. If people actually had to use their real life name to Twitch or to stream on Twitch, or even better, to actually chat on Twitch.
Oh my god, that'd be brilliant!
It might actually fix Twitch chat.
No, it's the internet. People just make fake Google Plus accounts. It's for Twitch's sake. It almost feels like what Giant Bomb had to do with like when they were Whiskey Media and growing to be much larger than they like could manage at Whiskey. So like, yeah. I mean, no one can deny these days that Twitch goes down at random times and is always like, you know, constantly on fire. But to their credit, like they do an amazing job month in and month out of putting those fires out quickly and reliably. But there's got to be a point where they're just like, man, it would be so much easier on us if we actually had working servers all the time.
Does Justin TV, is it still a thing or is it just Twitch now?
Justin TV is everything non-game related.
Well, I knew that was the case at some point. I just figured at some point they'd just shut it down.
No, I'm pretty sure it's still running. I mean,
So I don't actually. And other alternatives like people all moving to Justin or a new person coming up and taking the throne. They sound good in concept, but I don't know if that would happen. Like, it's more likely, in my opinion, that people just have to deal with getting dicked over, which sucks. Like for YouTube right now, like not like anyone fucking moved from YouTube because of the content restrictions they've recently put out. It's just the same people.
Everyone deals with it.
I mean, like one thing I've noticed is since like that deal went down or like the restrictions happened this year, I've been going to YouTube less and less. I mean, I still go to it on a regular basis, but I go to Twitch a lot more just to like watch something to pass the time. Yep. And I'm one of the reasons why. Even if both parties want this to happen, it might not happen, is because that would be like a really big monopoly on the internet for content viewing, so the regulators might not allow it.
True,
I actually think there's no basis in that. I think, and again, this might be completely out of like the wrong place because I'm a foreigner commenting on what I've observed of American stuff, but I don't know if your regulators are up to date enough to recognize the fact that there is such a thing as an internet monopoly.
Well, what I was going to say it all depends, because if they consider Netflix in the same category, then no, absolutely, it's not going to be a monopoly and they'll let it go.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's something else is just like, are the regulators possibly former YouTube employees? Which is the case for other things with regulators regulating stuff.
Yeah, you guys have way bigger problems over there than YouTube buying Twitch when looking at your fucking
banking system.
TV companies. Well, no, I mean, just as entertainment, your large TV companies purchasing one another. That's kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's
Time Warner Cable and Comcast.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's one thing. Banking system is another thing. How is Australia doing? Like, to be honest, are the poisonous like spiders that can kill you instantly. Are they really that bad?
Let's just put it this way. I just spent a lot of extended period of time.
You think 32 degrees is cold, right?
Fahrenheit? Yeah. 32 degrees is fucking freezing. I just spent like a couple of weeks essentially out in the bush, and we didn't see a single deadly creature the entire time.
So they're all in the city.
Yes, they're all in the city.
But you guys don't wear shoes. I don't know.
But it's also because it's cold, so that might be part of it. Yes. But it's not a thing. It's exaggerated. I highly recommend people move their lives to Australia.
I don't know. I mean, like, I remember reading something Dan Teasdale said that, like, Australia has booted out, like, some... They've reversed some gaming law that they had, like, that basically to promote people who make video games to set up their companies in Australia, they've, like, reversed some funding law that they had, which, I mean, to be fair, they're apparently having money, not as bad as other countries, but having money issues and having to tighten their belt, and so they reversed that. But the last of Dan Teasdale's friends from the company No Goblin has moved their company to the, I think, U.S.
Straight up, it's not a place to be.
If you like video games.
If you plan to make games. Liking video games is different because I haven't had a problem playing any of the games I want to play, but...
So Cynic. And Durin. I mean, it's not discounting Emily, but you probably... I've told you about Giant Bomb, but you will have no idea what this conversation is about. Vinny's moving to New York! What the crap?
I was shocked. I was legitimately... surprised.
I thought they were joking at first, like, especially since Brad started off as a joke, and I was just like, wait, this is...
I had paused the podcast at some point, and then I came back to my computer and refreshed the main page, so I actually saw the news article before I heard it in the Bombcast.
Yeah. And because of the way my life's been, I saw the news article well, but I didn't really recognize what it was for until I only clicked on it because it had Vinny's fate, like, him, that stupid costume on the fucking picture. That's going to be funny.
His little fake passionate thing. Like, I read that and I was like, wait.
Does that mean
what I think it means?
And then I clicked on it. It's like, oh. And I was like, oh my God. And then I listened to the podcast and heard their reasoning for it. But
right.
It was, yeah. It was fucking.
It's funny because, like, on one hand, like, I understand why people are kind of unsure about it. And some people are upset about it. Like, you know, Vinny's not going to be there. They're not going to have the interactions between him and the other guys. But at the same time, like, I'm also kind of excited to see what Giant Bomb East can do, because they need this really bad.
Well, and also, for people worried about Vinny and Jeff interactions on the podcast, I think Patrick, he sort of hinted that they might do like a Skype thing or something, because he's super excited about something they're planning, despite other people not being excited about it when they're talking about like that whole dynamic. So I'm pretty sure, despite Jeff's arguments, they might be doing a Skype or something. I don't know.
I know that like a in-person podcast is the best way to do a podcast, but I think losing Vinny from the podcast permanently would be pretty sad.
Yeah, you jamokes are listening to this mess.
The way to solve it is they just do video podcasts. Thing Jeff hates the most.
So just every year, or like every episode is the first episode of the year, when they're all at home in like weird hats.
I fucking love that shit. They were great when they did that. It was good memories. Good memories, you guys. There will probably never be another Vinny and Jeff endurance run, and that actually legitimately saddened.
Okay, they never said like they don't want to do another endurance run. Period.
It was always a possibility until now.
But the thing is, like, they've already done two since they said they weren't going to do anymore. They did Volgar and they did Dark Souls.
They've done endurance runs. They haven't done a Vinny and Jeff endurance.
Well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The endurance run format has lived
let's,
on.
Let's also not forget the amazing game. I thought Danny O'Dwyer sat in on it. What is it called?
Oh, jeez. My favorite one. It's literally my favorite one. I've forgotten what the fuck it's called. One of the robots.
Yeah. You guys keep talking. I'll look it up.
And he plays a flute. Yep. And
I know. Oh, I don't right.
Bioforge.
That's it. Okay. There you go.
I forgot about Bioforge. Yeah.
That was flips. The best endurance run. God. Aside from the Persona 4.
That gem of a game.
Fucking amazing. Yes, yeah, so we'll miss stuff like that. Probably.
But also, by the same token, I, having only like started watching Giant Bomb, like, this has nothing to do with them moving over to CBSI, but at the time they moved over to CBSI, it was the same time I found out about them. I don't really know what it's like to have, like, interactions with Alex on a live, like, on a recorded thing other than the PAX stuff. So right. That will be neat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I am really excited to see who they're hiring.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's the thing. Is like, yes, Vinny's going over there, but like, they're going to have more people coming in, I think, on both sides eventually.
Hashtag hire O'Dwyer.
Hire O'Dwyer? He's so perfect. He fucking, every time he sits in, it's a good
guy. He is, but at the same time, like, he's all GameSpot has.
Especially since they let Johnny Ciudini go. He went off to do his own stuff.
Yeah, like, it's
kind of, yeah, he is totally the best.
That's why, because I saw like, Fubacula ended. And so, like, that's the only thing I ever saw him on. Is that why it ended? Is just he was leaving?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like I said, that was pretty much all he did. So I could see why, you know,
yeah, he
might be kind of done with that whole thing. But no, yeah, I'm interested to see how things shake up over the next year, and like what Giant Bomb is going to be in 2015. Like 2014, I think is going to be. There's going to be a lot of threads of they're not making enough content. But like, you know, that's going to happen. You know, they're opening a whole new office. They're, you know, getting some new blood in there. But I'm interested to see what 2015 Giant Bomb is going to be like. Like, yes. Getting kind of the all, like, I imagine we're going to have a lot more content than we're seeing right now. Just given the fact that you're going to have two offices putting it out.
Well, and I wonder,
already saw a lot once Patrick left.
Like, do you? There's like some questions that, like, do you wonder if they're going to do a big live show? Because they didn't do it last year. Partially, like, Ryan might have been some part of that. Rest in peace.
Oh, Ryan was absolutely a huge part of it.
But, oh yeah, yeah.
He was the show.
Yes.
So I don't know. They may. I'm really feeling like they might just retire that along with.
I think it might come back. Yeah. You know. Long while away, I think it's something that they would be interested in bringing back. This is, again, speaking for them, so maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about, but I think they'll just be way too fucking busy setting up Giant Bomb New York and hiring new people.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not this year.
But yeah, it's just like they've definitely gotten stagnant with just doing the same things over and over again. Like the Dark Souls and the Volgar are like neat little things that they've done on like on top of the regular content, but it's mostly been just the regular stuff over and over again. So this, I'm okay. I'm comfortable with new stuff.
Yeah,
Vinny's more quick looks. Like, that's what I'm like most excited about.
Not only is Vinny still with Giant Bomb, this is something that Vinny wants to have happen.
Yes,
and he's never proved us wrong.
Yeah. Right,
Vinny knows what he's doing.
Apart from being worried about loading the Choco Taco video that he made Jeff push send on. Everything else, he's been 100% on.
Hang on, I gotta get reference for this Choco Taco video.
It was a random video. It got posted to this site, right? The main site.
It was a video thing.
Was it just the YouTube channel? Or was it on the main site?
I don't know.
It was. Vinny just made him post it.
I gotta find this eventually.
What else was there? That's it for news, right?
I
think it's the video thing to human. We'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then finally, it is E3 predictions, I think, was that last thing?
Yeah, I think, like, I will hold off on mine. I'm just, like, seeing if you want to get some of yours down, and then we'll call it a show.
Yeah, I have 10 minutes. So mine are legitimately, I think there'll be maybe two new IPs or so announced per major dude. So Microsoft and Sony, maybe two each. That's most I'd see. We're probably just going to see a lot of like rehashes. We're probably going to see Uncharted 4. We're probably going to see The Last of Us remake coming to PS4. Maybe a little bit of footage with that. It's going to be,
After right. Jeff's talking about it, I think it's going to be a pretty shitty E3, you guys.
The big question, are we going to see The Last Guardian on PS4?
I
hope not.
I think so.
I hope they just straight up drop it. Like, it's like, hey guys, guess what's out this week?
If that email, the anonymous email that Giant Bomb got is actually legit, if it's legit, that's a huge if. Then I think we would absolutely see it, because if it is truly all hands on deck for that game, they've got to be prepping it for a new unveiling. And of course it's going to be PS4, because at this point they can't afford to put that on PS3.
I won't note which console it'll be on, but I think it'll be finally shown this year. This is the last year I'll say it. I don't think I said it last year. I think last year I said they have to show it this year, right? But this year I think they're actually going to show it. I don't know. Aside from that, Nintendo is probably. Do you think they're going to announce that new hardware bullshit? Do you think that even has any basis?
The emerging markets hardware? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, just whatever that stupid rumor of them having new hardware was.
No. They came out and said like, no, we don't. What they do have is some kind of console hardware they have plans of releasing in emerging markets.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
I don't know if they'll show that or not, but they'll probably
announce. Yeah, I don't think E3 is going
to
be for that.
The only thing Nintendo has, like, I'm interested with how they're going to play stuff out is Super Smash Brothers. Like, they've hinted at there being an actual tournament mode in there.
Well, there's straight up going to be a tournament at E3.
Yeah, well, like, I know that. Will there be a tournament at Evo that they are sanctioning?
Yeah.
Will they turn and sort of embrace the people that enjoy playing their games and the community that has grown up around those games, or are they going to be like, no, stop watching our stuff?
They're going to be Nintendo.
Yeah, I know.
it's
like the grandpa in the game company scene.
I'm interested in it because this will be the first time we'll see actual gameplay of that game.
Yeah, at Best Buy.
Yeah. Well, and the tournament as well. Like, the tournament is what I'm interested in seeing. Like, seeing people actually playing that game.
I have a coworker taking that day off and for E3 to go to the Best Buy and play it.
It's only like during certain hours, right? Like, it's like 2 hours out of the day or some shit.
He has other reasons, but yeah, that's what he's wanted to do that. What do you think about Microsoft? I mean, like, Phil Spencer, new CEO there, he made the announcement for Xbox. Do you think he's got like other things up his sleeve? He has to if they wait for the Xbox for now.
Legitimately, I think they only have one or two things up their sleeve in terms of new IPs. They're going to show the new Halo, probably. They're going to show the stupid Halo collection thing, probably.
Gears of War?
Ooh.
They did buy that IP a couple months back. Like, maybe just a teaser video at the end?
Yeah, I would say, like, maybe a CG video.
A sizzle reel?
Yeah, there might be any kind of gameplay for it.
It would be not much beyond a logo.
So, I was thinking about this with regards to what Jeff was talking about, you know, it kind of not maybe not being a great E3 and all that. Mm-hmm. Is he's judging this, I imagine, based off what he saw at the judges' stuff. But the thing is that the stuff that they are shown at the judges' thing is all stuff that is going to be non-press conference stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff that's actually at the press conferences, even he has no idea what that stuff's going to be. Yeah,
big surprises are what this
is. And so, like, about. Yeah, I think that, like, Jeff has this idea that you know, it's going to be kind of a weak E3, but it could be that, like, they have so many new things that they might actually talk about that's going to be the majority of the show. And so what he saw was just kind of the, you know, pretty much all the known things.
Okay, so here's my thing. Right. Let's go around the table with this, you guys. All right. Question to the table. Is Sony going to show a shitload more VR thing, and are they going to give it a release date? I think they're going to show a shitload more VR thing. I think it's going to look a little bit different again. I think it's going to look a bit cooler. And I think they're not going to show a release date.
I don't think they're going to show anything about it again until next year. I think they're going to go dark at this point. They've said themselves that they're very, very early in the prototyping for that. And they're not Oculus. Like, they can't just come out and bring a duct taped VR headset to the show. So I don't think we're going to see anything, especially not on stage. I think this is not going to be the year for that.
I I hope to see more. I would be really excited if they show more. Doubleton, any, do you give a shit, or did, do you have any predictions there?
In terms of just your question, I think they're still going to be calling it Project Morpheus, meaning that, like, during, they won't have a release date or anything. They might have stuff showing for it. They might have, like, a small, like, you know, hey, here's this one chair that you can sit in and be in that cage demo. But, yeah, I mean, it's
mainly... Oh, sure, they might have it on the floor, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they might have it on the floor, but press conference, there's no way.
Yeah.
No, who do you think is going to have the biggest surprise? My vote is Sony, because they seem to be on a roll.
As always, my vote is Valve. They're going to announce Half-Life 3 and Red Dead 3.
Are we talking just three of the big three?
And Steam, yep. Oh, no, Steam OS 2.
Because last year, I think Ubisoft had the biggest surprise with what's his face? The Division, wasn't it? Was that last
year? Yes, the door closing game.
Yeah, it looks fucking amazing. So, what do you think?
Yes, we all know how Ubisoft games start off looking amazing and then don't really, by the time they come out to ship, like,
Watch Dogs. We'll see how Watch Dogs reviews next week.
I was watching it on Twitch earlier. It looks fine. I'm going to say probably Sony, because, like, the biggest bombshell that Microsoft could have possibly had would be to simultaneously announce Halo 5 and show gameplay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And like, that could have been their big thing, but because they blew their load already on the announcement of Halo 5, I think that takes a lot of the wind out of the sails for that one. So I think between the big three, I would say probably Sony. If we're talking across the board, I'm going to say maybe Ubisoft, depending on, you know, if they really change up the formula with the new Assassins, that could potentially be really interesting. If it ends up just being the same old thing again, then it's just going to be disappointing. And I think it'll be the first, like, the beginning of the end for that franchise, because I think a lot of people are just becoming disinterested in that.
Man, I would love to see a proper next-gen Assassins, but I don't think that's going to come. I bet it's still going to be a fucking cross-gen piece of shit Assassins.
No, it's not. It's not. Assassin's Creed Unity is for PS4 and Xbox One only.
They can say that. Oh, okay. They can say that, but unless the engine itself has been rebuilt and it looks
like... Well, we already know that there were rumors, even before they announced this game, there were rumors that there were going to be two Assassin's Creeds, one for that generation, one for the old generation.
I'm willing to give it another shot. I liked 4 for what I played it. That's a different. This might be a different team. Like, this might be the B team that made 3 or whatever. Anyway,
I don't know.
All right. Not me. Next question is.
I guess there's one thing. Just because it's gonna make me laugh. Cynic's reaction to this. Emily, what predictions do you have for E3?
I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question.
Aw.
It made my heart glow, and it's like, oh, there's gamers who don't give a crap about E3.
You don't get it, man. You don't get it.
Yes, and it's wonderful that she doesn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, like, I don't even follow that much. I should probably read up more on gaming news, but...
So, like, okay, that's the thing, I guess. Does anybody else here, like, since we all tend to follow a lot of it, do you kind of miss that time? Like, I remember when I used to be able to, like, I used to walk into a Blockbuster, which that's already...
That's dating yourself, all right.
That's dating myself even with that. But walking to a Blockbuster, and I would literally pick a game to rent based on the back of the box. Like, I miss that. Like, knowing nothing about these games, not having this, like, preconceived idea of what this game is or isn't. Like, just walking in, like, that has cool pictures. I want that one.
Hey, check it out, an Aliens versus Colonial Marines game.
Like, I
played, it's got aliens on it.
I never would have played if I would have actually, like, you know, done the research or whatever that I do now.
It's from the dudes that did Borderlands.
Fair enough. Maybe it's better that I keep up with the news.
All right, Cynic, please continue with as much time as you need before you have to go.
Will Nintendo fans be disappointed?
Always.
I think yes is my.
Well, I don't know. I already have a Wii U, so how much more disappointed can I be?
Oh, burn! Oh.
mean, just like, I've already spent the money on it, so at this point, it's anything that comes out for it is good, right?
And will there finally be a game that makes you go, wow, next gen is here?
No, because Division was pushed to 2015.
Boom! I don't think that was the game yet. I think it looked pretty, but it didn't.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, what I'm looking for is something that goes beyond just, like, pretty graphics and, like, does something interesting with mechanics or, like, I don't know, like, interactivity with the world or something that, yeah, that just kind of raises the bar and, like, okay, now, from now on, every game, at least maybe in this genre, now has to do what this game does.
Yeah, like, that's like, what Call I'm looking for. Like, Vinny was saying it, like, he expects there to be a new COD 4. Like, a
Call of Duty 4
kind of
defines the generation. I think
that's going to be a 2015.
This E3. One's got Kevin Spacey in it. That's generation defining. It's a simulator about a guy who owns a fish store. It's called House of Cod.
Like, somebody already tried to do that, and it was Titanfall, and a week later, everyone forgot about it.
Titan what?
That's true.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I don't think what we need is the new Call of Duty. I think what we need is the next... We need something from a genre that is not a first-person shooter to rise up and get first-person shooters the fuck out of there so that we can finally start having some variety in our games.
Yeah.
Half-Life 3.
Dethrone the first-person shooter. That's a Half-Life big thing. Half-Life 3
Tactics RPG.
Bingo.
Oh, man. Do you think there's going to be another big JRPG announced?
Do I care?
You know what?
Final Fantasy 15?
This includes... this includes...
be announced.
Project Beast. Do you think Project Beast is a thing that will be there? That includes that. Nope.
Yes, I do think it'll be there. Like, I think that's where leaks came from is pre-E3 news. Or E3 prep stuff. But no, actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft kind of started trying to make the same bets they made last generation, since they seem to at least say they're very committed with Japan. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some kind of an Xbox One exclusive JRPG announced.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It could happen. I really doubt the Xbox One is going to have anything Japanese announced for, except for cross-platform titles. That's my stance on the matter. I think they're pretty much dead in the water in Japan. Have they even released in Japan yet? Has the Xbox One is out in Japan?
It came out in April? Somewhere around there, March or April, I think.
Sure, we'll go with that, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that was the PS4. No, the Xbox One doesn't launch until, like, later this year.
Thank you. I didn't think so. I'm pretty sure that thing isn't even fucking out there yet. So,
that's right, yeah. Okay, never mind. That'll be 2015 also.
And the game you're looking most forward to?
Blue Dragon 2.
I'm probably The Witcher 3. Probably? Looking most forward to? At E3?
Man.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm sure there is some game I'm super excited about at E3.
That's kind of sad.
I don't know what it is right now. And it's not some hot announcement. It's just not something that I'm tracking regularly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the game, but I guess I'm hoping for a proper date announcement for Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, I don't think I think that's not going to happen anytime soon, brother.
I think it has to. Like, that game has been in development for like 6 years. Like, they have.
Yeah, I even have it on my Amazon wish list already.
That game looks so good.
You know what, though? Like, they can take their time, because the longer they work on that game, the longer it'll be... The longer they work on that, the longer this world goes on without another Kingdom Hearts game.
Oh, Shin Boy. Poor Shin Boy. And Revan. Oh, Revan. They're not gonna get that. That might not even happen this generation. That could be the next Final Fantasy versus 13, and it could be, like, pushed till next generation, for fuck's sake. Oh, man. Oh, well. That's it. I need to go.
All right.
Durin, any plugs? Music plug? Or not? I don't know. What do you got?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
No. Just check out
check out WildStar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check out WildStar now that it's not in open beta anymore.
Yep. It's, I guess, looking at the soundtrack, it says Durin.
Yep.
Cynic, any join the Australian Air Force? That's your plug?
Yeah, I joined the Air Force, guys. It's yeah. It's fucking hard work, but hopefully it'll pay off. That's where my stance on it at the moment. It's pretty cool. You got no. I probably say pick up the Transistor soundtrack. It's pretty good. That's my plug.
Yeah. Okay. I'll back that. Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty good.
No legit plugs.
No. That is literally it. That's the closest thing I could think of for a plug. Is pick up the Transistor soundtrack. All right. Cool. Available for $10 on Steam. I think it's $10 on Steam. You can buy it direct as a separate downloadable. Yep. And on the website as well.
Cool. All right. Emily, any like the music plug is two people, the two hosts who are not here regularly listen to like opera alternative metal and will always be like suggesting some band for everyone to check out. So we're jokingly doing music plugs. But if you have a legit music plug or just thing that you think is neat in relevant news that you want to have people check out.
Yeah, yeah. I have a music plug. Have you guys ever played Xenogears by chance? Or no?
I have not, though I have heard of it.
No, oh, okay.
Yeah. Or that might be Xenosaga.
Oh, I see. Well, if you guys are a fan of Xenogears or Chrono Trigger, you should check out this guy named Zohar002 on YouTube. He does these piano arrangements. They're really, really good. You should check him out.
Zohar with a Z or with an X?
Yeah, how do you spell it?
With a Z. It's Zohar002.
Interesting.
And there's one in particular called The Corridors of Time. It's from Chrono Trigger. If you listen to it, you might recognize it, but
yeah,
he's amazing.
Yeah, I don't actually listen to too much. Oh, well, okay. I was going to say I don't actually listen to too much video game music, and then I realized, like, wait, I've been listening to Transistor for the last day. I haven't listened too much in the way of Japanese video game music for years and years. I don't know. It's been quite a while. Like, since I listened to the Black Mages, but I'm waffling. I could talk about fucking Final Fantasy music for a while, so let's not get into that.
Nice.
All right. Mine will be, I talked a couple of many episodes ago about a band called The Megas and how they released a new album, and they have released yet another new album. These guys are pretty much just do exclusively Mega Man music, but like rock and roll, like heavy rock and roll versions of it. And actually have like really well written songs to this, like the story of Mega Man, which I having not played Mega Man, but having listened to their songs, I almost don't want to play Mega Man because I'll be disappointed by the lore that they've like set up. By the way, like the enemies behave and the bosses play out and all that, and the level design.
I was going to say, there's a story to Mega Man.
Listen to their music, and you will think there is. But they recently released their latest one called History Repeating: Red. their previous one was History Repeating Blue. And this follows.
That is awesome.
I guess there's a red Mega Man.
Who's the composer for Mega Man music?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not...
I think I met this lady named... what is her name? It's like Kinuyo Yamashita or something at this like game orchestra. And I think she did one of the Mega Man soundtracks. I'm not sure. But she was cool. And I think she also did Castlevania.
I bet some people would be really angry that you can't name the game she's worked on and you've met her.
Probably.
I don't know, either.
She actually New Jersey, which is kind of crazy.
Manami Matsume? That looks like this composer of the original Mega Man, at least.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Matsume...
Whoa!
Sorry.
With that,
the Mega Man 2 composer that I know of is Takashi Tatishi. I'm sorry to everyone, but only because I know that they're on board for the Mighty No. 9, which is the game that the creator is like the spiritual successor. Anyway, this has been an episode of Lincoln Cast. I guess maybe possibly. Thank you everyone for listening. Have a wonderful...
Wait, we started out as a Scotchcast.
Scotchcast. This has been a Scotchcast episode. Should we talk
something
about... We'll talk about why we haven't done a Legion cast in a long time and probably won't be on another episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
This would easily been over at least 3 hours, and I would have to edit it down to 3.
You actually edit it?
I have notes of stuff I'm going to have to cut out in the... are you not looking at the Google Doc?
No, I'm not actually.
You should totally look at the Google Doc.
Oh, well, I saw the picture. I didn't see... Audacity? Oh, God. I didn't see the Drake picture. I only saw the Jeff one.
Oh, I didn't talk about Amplitude funding their Kickstarter.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah. We didn't talk about Mountain Dew. Damn it, no.
So it was you. You put it there.